This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. 7 o'clock. It's the show. It's Studio C. We're coming to you live as we do each and every Monday.
Yeah, that night.
Well, not that night.
That night, too.
We do it on Tuesdays, 7 to 10, coming to you live from Studio C. I'm not sure where the hell I got that from. All of a sudden, I'm the Freudian slip into Monday. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense either. But anyway, it's us. We're here. Thank you for being with us. Somebody is listening in the Philippines right now.
Hello.
Two people actually are listening in the Philippines. Hello to you, the United States, and all the ships at sea, as it were. So many, many, many things to do. This is show number 159 for those of you keeping score at home. That means we are four shows away from our 100th installment of this little dog and pony show.
Wow.
So I have a question, Al. Does 100 episodes get you in line for syndication? Is that what the
usually, yes.
Is that the magic number? Yeah. Okay, so hopefully we can go onward and upward from here. We're not sure. In studio with me, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins. Katie June may show up. She had some HRC things to do.
She's usually here on Mondays.
Yeah. Which is funny.
I wondered who that woman was walking around my house.
It's weird.
It's very odd. Very peculiar. We don't... I don't know.
It's fantastic, the Monday.
Oh, yes. Good times, great oldies. Well... Hi, one and all. It seems like I just saw you on Sunday evening.
It feels like it's been mere moments of awakeness.
Yes. Have you slept since then? Have either one of you slept since then?
I did. I slept quite well.
Oh, well, okay. You make this sound like you did something extra special. I don't know what that means.
No, I after you all left and the last guest was escorted firmly to the door.
Yeah, I had to leave. I had to go.
But you were not escorted firmly to the
door.
No,
I was not.
I was going to come back. I didn't want him there by himself. And by him, I mean him.
Yeah. Al, right.
And, but after that, I laid down. I there was barely anything to clean up. No. I think I maybe put away a dishwasher full of stuff and then went to bed and slept till 2 p.m. yesterday.
Nice. Oh, my God.
And that was all I could do. I got up. I laid on the couch. I watched some stuff, and then I couldn't stay awake for some other stuff, so I thought, oh, I'm going to go back to bed.
Good.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with that at
when
all.
When it rains, it pours, it was sleep with you, because I know sometimes you'll go years and not sleep, and then
Saturday, I slept a little bit. I got up. Renee was in town for a hot second, so I saw him. I got the house half cleaned.
Oh, again, and Renee's in town, and I miss it.
Yeah, it's like, you get 90 minutes with him.
Yeah.
And then Sunday was get up, get things ready, and then bam, we were into it, and then bam, everybody went home, and...
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, so finally by the time Monday hit, I was tired.
Well, I guess. Yeah. Well, and all that hosting.
But in a very clean house, you know, a very clean home.
And yes.
Good. Yeah, I went.
It was a good time. Thank you for the invite and the hospitality. And what did I say when I left there? Thank you for the hospitality and the intrusion or something like that.
It was very good. It was just a nice time. And Erin said that she was just very sad that she had to leave. She was planning, she said, I probably was going to leave at 7. Just because of her normal
routine.
Routine. And she was there until almost 8.
Yeah.
And she said, I really did not want to leave, but she just knew.
Well, and she was enjoying the food and the drink. Yeah. So I brought the rest of her bottle of wine here. So I need to take to her or I'll drink
sweet.
It.
Like, yeah.
Whichever works.
Exactly.
Right. Hello, Harrison and Tyler,
hi,
both
guys.
In the chat room.
Hi.
If you are listening and would like to, please do join us in the chat room. You can go to our website, qtalkamerica.com. There is a chat button. There's a listen live button. It even says we're currently on the air. So all these things could potentially get you to the chat room and interacting with us somehow. I don't know. It's all good. Marnie, payroll's over. No, it's never over.
No.
I don't even know why I ask.
Tonight, well, close.
Yeah?
Close.
Yeah?
It's by tomorrow morning.
Okay.
That'll be done.
And then you'll be on your way to another...
Payroll.
Another payroll, right.
Let's turn right around and start it again.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I have a good assistant helper, so she's been doing a great job.
Oh
that's very nice to hear.
It's good to have an assistant.
It is. So that has been, you know how it is with systems and people calling you and what's this and what's that.
Yes, I do.
And people keep coming up with really great ideas for making it easier.
And nobody does it?
It's a shit show.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not that no one does it. It's that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so whatever they've come up with and written fantastic because the asshat who wrote it, he's sitting there with like a bottle of champagne and just enjoying himself, and he knows how to run it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, kind of like you take your car to the mechanic,
yeah.
Every time you take it there, runs like a beauty, just a gem.
Yeah, that noise never happens at the dealership.
Never happens. Right. And then you drive it away, you're like, son of a bitch, I'm taking it back.
Yeah.
Same thing with this, you know, you roll out the system and all of a sudden people are calling. This is not working. Mm. You call him, it's working just fine. I don't know what they're doing. Well, right. That was helpful.
Yeah.
Good. No. I'm going to call them now and say that. Don't
yeah.
know.
Don't, yeah.
Get your time entered or you're not going to get paid. They like that.
Yeah. They like that.
So exactly. It's quite enjoyable. It's quite sure. enjoyable. But Sunday was just a lovely reprieve from all of that. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad it was a great reprieve for me too. From
so
the
has
hustle bustle.
Has the one participant in the evening? how do you? I don't know how to say.
Do you
this
really lightly. Call that a participant?
How has he come down yet?
Don't know.
On the good ship, chocolate bar.
God damn! I was like,
you know what? I have to say there were other forces at work. There
had to have been.
Yeah,
I mean for real.
Well, no, I already know that he is, he's one of those people that's just like, he's already out there. Because right. For the whole 20 years I've known him.
Real eccentric.
Yeah. But you add a little oil to the candle.
And I would like to say that there aren't many people that can handle prolonged champagne adventures. Sure. And I feel that threw him under the bus more than anything else.
I was thinking like sugar on top of sugar on top of sugar on top of sugar. And yeah, absolutely.
It turned into something that like, I've never seen that before.
I gotta tell you, you're one of the more patient people that I have truly ever met. He really, yes. really is. Because it wasn't just the Oscars. It was through the movie Gravity that I kind of thought, well, Al's the most patient person I have ever met.
I am God surprised there wasn't a...
Wait, you watched a movie after?
Yes, we did.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
I have to say we learned something new about my TV. Well, I knew it was 3D, but there was no proof of it because I'd never done it. And then with a little finagling that it turns out wasn't necessary, Marnie was our techno-savvy lifesaver, figured out how to put together the 3D glasses, how to get them turned on, and how to sync them with the TV. And I had made an adjustment that didn't need to be made, but we ended up watching it. Perfect. And I have to tell you, as long as you're going to see it somewhere on a beautiful giant 3D TV, that movie held up beautifully.
Oh, no. It was fantastic.
Wow.
And
it
I was
didn't lose a lot in the translation.
Did you were you doing this kind of thing? When
oh, my God. There were, yeah.
And it was just, and she had never seen it. Doug had not seen it in 3D, and I was skeptical because I just didn't feel that my TV was big enough to
gonna do it justice.
Gravity.
Oh, it did.
Oh, and it did. Like, she didn't take a breath for it, because it's 90 minutes of holding your breath.
Okay. It really, and I sat there, I'm like, is anyone else losing oxygen?
She was so stressed out. And Doug was like constantly like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. He was like, I just watched this day before yesterday, and this is not the same movie.
There were many points, but one point in particular where I honestly thought that I was going to get knocked in the head with a bolt from the cruise ship, as it were. But I mean, just like, and I ducked.
It's one thing to be in a giant movie theater where the screen is like,
I can't imagine,
three stories high. But we were just sitting there looking at my living room TV, and like she was like,
I kept wanting to grab, like, here, use this.
And then it took time to notice, like, the sunrise coming over the horizon, just the beautiful way that the light was done in 3D, and they would switch to her perspective from inside the glass, and you had the 3D of her reflection of her face.
And the tear, in like, the glass, the, and the, yeah, her reflection in the tear, like, it was...
Just well-deserved 7 Oscar wins on that one. Just gorgeous, gorgeous movie. Yeah.
And I became a 4-year-old, right, when it... I'm like, okay, call Clayton, tell Clayton that I was able to do it, like, because I get all excited about that kind of stuff.
Because we had nothing. I mean, those glasses were not 3D glasses. Like, they have a battery, you've got to sync them up to the TV... Shake your leg 3 times, howl at the moon.
Hey.
Pull these
fossy,
things
fossy,
off.
Fossy, jazz hands.
But you got it done. And
it was.
Enjoyed.
It was very
fun. And then after they left, I put everything back together the way it should go and fixed the glasses. And so with my real sound system, I was able to like watch it still.
That's great. Okay.
Oh, and then some of those, that score came through.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I can't believe it.
I could have won. I could have been a winner.
For those of you who don't know what Al's frustrated about.
They every single year tie with Doug Wilkie and the Oscars.
It's fantastic.
Every single year we tie.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
It's really not.
No, it isn't. But it was just funny that I was the one that explained why the score was so good and then looked down and realized I didn't pick it.
Yeah. Damn it.
Damn it. Damn it.
Curses.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. Well, it's over for another year. So now what we've got is a week or two of post, and then we'll start all over and he'll be talking about next year.
Right. Exactly. Oh, exactly. Of course.
Well, yeah. And I hope that, not that.
Well, Cannes is coming up.
Not compared to the shows that were up there, but I think it was Doug and I were talking about the fact that The Butler came out so long ago. I mean, was so last year.
There wasn't a Best Picture nominee released after September.
Okay.
I mean, released before September.
Yeah.
So they went complete amnesia. Usually they pick something out of the summer or something from the early, some little surprise, nothing.
Well, he made the comment. He's like, do you really think that, you know, just as Doug would, like just kind of a rhetorical, but you know, do you really think that people have that short of an attention span? Yep.
Yeah, yep. And the fact for real. I mean, those nine great movies came out. And I always say, like, Toronto Film Festival on. But if you don't believe me this year, that's where 12 Years a Slave came from. It's where American Beauty comes from.
Like, and you were all about, I mean, do you remember how adamant he was about Oprah's performance?
Oh, absolutely.
And just everything. And you didn't hear her name. You did at the Golden Globes for, like, a second.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, let's mention her.
Well, no, but just great categories. Like, all the snubs. There was just so many great. There wasn't one. Oh, Jesus, that one in there.
I was even surprised, though, because I honestly had kind of forgotten about it. But when I forgot what it was for makeup or something like that, because in that category.
Oh, Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger. I was like, because though I got a kick out of it and Mom and I watched it. But again, it was pretty much panned and it was in and out and gone and nobody thought much about it. So I was even surprised it was brought up at all for any nomination.
Yeah, and that makeup category was really some people cracked out because there was a lot of movie makeup that didn't get.
Right.
Acknowledged, and then the Lone Ranger, I was like, unless there was some, I mean, I didn't see it, but unless there was something in it besides Tonto's makeup, I'm not sure what makeup effects.
Right, that was the only thing you got was Johnny Depp, which I'll just enjoy watching Johnny Depp do about anything.
And it was a very, very strange category this year. Mm-hmm. Like, very strange. Oh, kind of like the other year when the Iron Lady won. You just made one person look like Margaret Thatcher. Like,
but really, there's people like Margaret Thatcher.
Right, yeah. But there's people that are doing like makeup for like hundreds of extras and stuff like that and creating new things. You just put a false teeth and a wig on her. Like, how'd you win an Oscar?
Pretty much, she still looks like.
So obviously, the makeup category is going in a new and different way. Who knew?
As time goes by, we'll learn more and more. Sure.
That's right.
First, the actor has to lose 40 pounds, and then I'll do his makeup.
Right.
40 pounds.
And go.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, now, I mean, we all see who won and what happened. I'm assuming at some point during the next year, I might see one or two of those films.
I own Gravity now, so please feel free to come over and enjoy the shit out of that, because we did.
Oh, well, we got
a 90-minute bang of... I mean, that really was worth every penny I paid
for. Only if
for
I
it.
Get to do the glasses.
I can't say that I wasn't worn the fuck out after that movie. From sitting there and just where you're like... And I was real glad Mom wasn't there.
Okay.
I was real glad because my mom can watch a commercial, like just on TV, and a dog will jump out of somewhere and she'll be like, you know, and like, but it's loud and it's just, you jump because she's now jumped.
Okay.
We would have been in hell. I mean, truly.
Oh, yeah.
She just, the reaction. From Mom would have been hysterical.
And
so
it's
that's
just, it's
that
just that movie was 91 minutes. You would have had a heart attack.
I may have.
Like, that movie had to end at 90 minutes for the comfort and safety of those around you.
It really did. I have not held my breath for that long in a suspenseful kind of movie. I just haven't. Yeah. And so I really...
Maybe it's because I don't see a lot of movies. When I remember Mom and I, when we saw Argo... Yeah. I was just losing my mind because to get the goddamn plane off the ground. Come on, let's go.
Imagine that for 90 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So, wow.
Because I agree with you. I felt the same way. I was like, for God's sake, why aren't you going? Go.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, there is definitely that feeling of like, take the plane. You'd be like Rain Man. Get it off the ground. Just get off the ground.
Go.
Forget the seatbelts. Take off. Yeah.
Come on, go.
And then, of course, in the movie, you know, the plane gets off the ground. Everybody's like, and then we're like, oh, wait. Then they're holding, you know, because they had to get on international airspace.
Right.
I'm like, shit.
Land air missile. It's coming. It's next.
Duck. Go faster. I don't know.
I know. That was on, that's been on HBO On Demand. And I've watched that a couple times. And that movie holds up beautifully. Like, that really does. Well played.
He wasn't there, was he?
Who?
At the Oscars.
No, Jennifer Garner came along. I thought that was odd.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's up. Well, he might be training for Batman, Superman, whoever. But now, one of the things that I thought this whole time with movie magic was I was under the impression that, and I guess with 37 days it still could have been, that they filmed, like, Matthew McConaughey lost all the weight he was going to. They filmed those scenes, and then they took, like, a short break for him to, like, eat a couple sandwiches. Because he's in, and that could be what the makeup Oscar was all about, because there were, like, three different levels to his, like, emaciation.
He was really thin.
But then to find out that they filmed it in 36 days, which is one of the reasons that everyone was making such a big deal about, like, what a tight movie it is that they filmed it fast. That was all filmed on the fly. A 36-day shoot time is very short. They made it on no money. But so I was just, I'm like, there's really not time for him to, I mean, he could maybe put on a couple pounds, but that is the makeup. So you have to wonder which of the three weights that he was in the movie was he really at, and the rest was done with makeup tricks. Because
When you say done or made the movie on no money, tell me what you mean.
Well, they had no distributor, so they made that off, like, independent financing. I mean, they'll make it, they have a few million dollars. I think that total budget ended up around $12 million, if I'm not mistaken.
But then you have other movies that are like,
oh, $100 billion, $100 million, right? No, I understand. Yeah. So I just was curious when you said make for no money. I didn't know.
Well, compared to like the Lone Ranger, which was made for $190 million, like that's a crazy amount of money.
Sure.
So $12 million is what Matthew McConaughey makes to be in a stupid bongo playing rom com. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's just his salary usually. Right. Let alone everything, catering, drivers. You know,
right.
There's a lot of extras in that movie too. There's quite a few. There is a little bit of crowd scenes for the membership. But it was interesting to read that was one of the things that I guess people responded to, was knowing it was made quickly on a shoestring budget and came away the second biggest Oscar winner of the night. Like, that and 12 Years a Slave both got three.
Sure.
So.
And when did you say that you thought it was a lock for 12 Years a Slave? It was when?
Really never. I never, honestly.
I thought at the end. You said Gravity doesn't?
No,
really...
when it got Best Adapted Screenplay, then we knew. Okay. Then we knew the show was over.
Okay.
There was really no choice. And you know what I mean? Everybody had their set categories. There had to be some kind of momentum going towards Best Picture.
Sure.
Okay. You know, Argo, you saw it in different things, screenplay, stuff like that. Mm. But this was a nail-biter to the end. And Entertainment Weekly had picked Gravity.
Okay.
And they were still standing
by. I'm going to tell you that Gravity was really, really quite good. Mm. I don't see it as the best picture.
Right.
I haven't seen the other ones.
But it's just from the aspect of, like, none of that existed until this movie.
You bet. And all of those technical awards make complete sense to me.
Right, and that's probably why it went the other way.
Yeah, because the movie itself, I left there really trying to chew on that. Like, okay, is that a best picture? And it was very good.
Right. Does it have the gravity? Does it have the gravitas, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was...
It's a fair point.
I thought when you... The meat of... Again, having not seen it, but 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
Compared to that simplicity.
Right. But when you see American Hustle, it seems very light, very fun. Sure. But honestly, like, and Buddy said it. I've heard it from a couple different people. 20 years from now, it'll be like how we watch Cabaret and The Sting and all
American
those movies.
Hustle.
Like, you're going to be watching American Hustle, like, still marveling at everybody in that movie.
So that'll be on, like, TBS over and over and over.
Right, right. It'll be the Shawshank Redemption of this year, you
right,
know.
Absolutely.
Or to The Wizard of Oz that's done every November.
Right, yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll make it into that pantheon, but, I mean, honestly,
I would appreciate if you'd not use words quite like pantheon during the show. I don't think we're ready for that.
Do you want me to Google that?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little concerned. P-A-N-T-H-E-O-N, I think, is the correct spelling for that.
That sounds correct, yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, so, I mean, so there it was. But I think, like, that Shawshank Redemption one no one saw coming. Like, I saw that at the theater. I've loved that book since I was a little kid. Mm. I think I read it when I was maybe 12 years old. Brita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. I saw it and I thought, well, they did a very nice job with that short story and turning it into a movie. Yeah. And then it got nominated for Oscars, and then it became like every male heterosexual's favorite movie of all time. And then it became like a cable staple. And I'm like, are we all talking about the same short
the same
story
one.
Like
but,
that I read when I was, in the sixth grade?
Sure.
craziness. So what else? I mean, what else besides, you know, the most important day of the year? What else have you done this week?
Well, it was the High Holy Day.
Yeah, the High Holy Day.
Well, yeah, for I know that is for you, absolutely. Uh-huh. Well, Monday was my the installation. We are now, Edge Studios is in the Phoenix Theater with three terminals going into four because they're looking at doing adding another one. And so just doing that for work. And, of course, my Monday was get up, do that, train them a little bit, go to Apollo's and do my Monday night thing, which has been...
How's that going?
It's been packed.
Good.
It has been packed. I'm astounded. I don't know if I'm just doing my Facebook marketing right on that or if just, I don't know, that's what they figured out. Well, that's the best place to watch it. So Drag Race has kind of been fun. And it really is, even though it's, you can watch it at home and I get all that, sometimes things are just more fun if you sit in a crowd and just listen to all the chatty comments and everything go on. Sure. So that has been kind of entertaining. But it's a good night. It's been very, very busy for that, which I'm happy. And then tonight is this. Tomorrow is it just goes on because I have my installation for Charlie's coming up, and I'm sure I'm doing something else that I have agreed to do. Kind of like Katie, she can't say no to things. So actually, I have started saying no to things. Like because actually, somebody asked me why. It was the sexiest bartender contest. I asked to not host it this year, and they're like, "Why?" I'm like, "Look, I'm spread already pretty thin. Nobody needs to see me anymore on a stage than I'm already on it. I'm good. Yeah.
So, was it last year when that happened, the sexiest bartender contest, that it became a real shit show?
Well, every year kind of winds up being
every
that
year,
way.
But last year, was it last year the people were jumping on the stage, a person?
I don't. Oh, no, that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Because last year... yeah. She didn't come at all, and I thanked the staff and management of that bar for not letting her be there.
Fair enough.
Because Heather showed up
I meant that
wasted.
I was trying to be
Heather
a little
showed
bit
up
more
a
delicate.
Little drunk and then was crawling, belly crawling across the stage to get at me to tip me dollars, and then had to actually be removed from the premises.
It became a little much for her.
No, that was 2 years ago. By the way, one of the things that, and you've got to be ecstatic about this, Harrison's talking in the chat room with Tyler.
Don't say that I'm ecstatic.
Well, I don't know. Harrison's car died. I'm not sure. The 22-year-old, almost 181,000 miles on a Miata. Now, my question is, what are you doing with the Miata? Because
He wants it.
He can turn it into a vacuum
just
cleaner.
Plain, exactly.
You know, you can make
it's about the size
cleaner.
Of a lawnmower, so you're good.
Can I haul a vacuum
in? That's a good point. You can turn it into a vacuum.
Well, I'm wondering, who's going to take this car on a trade-in?
Huh?
Well, somebody?
Well, there's always those places that will... Well, I don't know if this is dead. Usually, you have to be. It has to drive of its own power to the front
because
door.
I don't know what dead really means, Harrison.
Oh no, this car is dead.
But I don't know what that means. Did the transmission completely go? Did the engine completely fail? I don't know what dead means to them.
Oh no, this car has been.
Though it's been slowly dying for a long time.
But it's been held together by like bubble gum and string. We're gonna say 5-6 years.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah, it's been crashed a few times.
Oh.
Even as recently as like right after she graduated.
Good
she
Lord.
Got rear-ended again.
It
so.
Is time to move on to but Mazda's. Hey, my mom drives one, and though over the years she's had work done here and there. Just,
oh, I thought your mom's was a Saturn. It looks like a Saturn.
No, it's a Mazda. Mazda 626.
Oh yeah, they look exactly like
you're right.
Saturn 300s.
Mm-hmm. Very another car that's gone. Saturns.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still around. They just don't make any more of them. Kind of like the car I drive.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
What?
Saturns. Because those were like a... I thought that those were a good
car. It was just part
car.
Of the bankruptcy. They were. The Saturn went with Pontiac as part of the GM.
Oh, well, that and Hummer and Saab. They got rid of all those.
Yeah, they had
Oldsmobile.
They had to streamline down. Oldsmobile left a few years
prior. Oh,
actually,
Oldsmobile, right. Yeah. It was gone earlier.
And seriously, if my mom hadn't been dead already, that would have killed her.
The 98.
She really? Was,
she, like, lived and died in an Oldsmobile. Because my first car... was not supposed to be for me. Like they didn't want to raise that kind of child, but everyone knew it was going to be my car.
Okay.
And so we went around to look at cars, and we were like hooked on this cute little Pontiac number. And I thought we were going to sign the papers. Like we had all been in it and liked it, like the colors and everything. And as we were like walking back to like where you sit and sign stuff, my mom says to the guy, she's like, "Well, I think I'm going to go look at Oldsmobiles tomorrow before we make a decision." Looked at him like, "You just lost a sale." Because she has never walked onto an Oldsmobile lot and left without a car. So.
Okay.
Let me tell you how that deal just went south.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you can move to an Oldsmobile dealership exactly. now.
Unless you have one coming on the lot, then so you're screwed.
It really was. This woman has never walked away from an Oldsmobile dealership. And I did. I got the beautiful Calais Supreme that was only made for a couple of years. Okay. It was the first year of the model. The original Missy Elmobile. She was cute.
Fantastic.
She was a cute little nice. Car. Not it was part of the not your father's Oldsmobile.
Okay. Yeah.
Although technically
okay.
it was because he paid for it.
Now the funny thing about and you've probably heard this story, Marty. The funny thing, and if I'm not mistaken, we're talking about the same car.
That was the Firenza. That was the
Firenza.
Because it took me a while to get out of the Oldsmobile trap too.
Okay.
Because I bought an Oldsmobile Firenza.
I knew him in a cursory way. He was around, but I was already bonding well with Wilk. So okay. when I lived in the apartments here, and this is such stimulating radio for those of you who don't live.
What year did you move here?
I moved here in 93, but I moved into the apartments behind Five and Diner in 94. So I lived with Quentin Rinker. Mm-hmm. So that's where I had the, remember I used to have the answering machine that had different tapes for different nights so people would know where I was? Yeah. So that was when I used to hang out at BS on Wednesdays, and it was Wilkie and I sitting around drinking and just ripping everybody, which sure. is what we did. Yeah. Well, he had this white car, and he always had problems with, like, the hood latch and this thing and that thing. Well, I didn't know. He just had this car. Right. And I didn't know Al really that well. Come to find out, it was Al's old car.
Okay.
Yeah, the Firenza lived long and reigned freely, or whatever you want to say.
That's funny.
Yeah, I had that car for 4 years, and then he had it. I sold it to him in 92, so...
Okay.
If you got your paws, he had it for a long time.
Yeah,
I
was 94, 95 was the era that I was around the car.
Yeah, and I just got rid of it because it didn't have a CD player. Like, there was nothing.
But remember, he's the one who bought the green car that was a manual. Couldn't drive a manual, but it had a CD player in it.
I love that.
Green car, CD player. That's all
there,
I need.
There was one thing, and we can hold it up perhaps for people to see, or I can send it to you, but I thought that was cute because you always talk about that Cumberbatch guy.
Oh, yeah.
And with the selfies that were done at the Oscars, all of those, and then the photo bombs. Because one of my favorite things about the photobomb, I don't know if you guys have paid attention to this or seen this yet, but the selfie that Ellen took, right? The we're going to kill Twitter kind of thing. One of the faces in there you should absolutely not recognize. You should be like, look at it and go, oh, there's Bradley Cooper and there's...
Lupita's brother?
It is.
Yeah.
And it is hysterical to me. Lupita Nyong'o's brother... comes out of nowhere.
And blocks Leonardo DiCaprio.
Totally. Like, dove in there. And and he is prominently in the picture.
Yeah, he is, because he's right next to... hang on. Yeah, right there.
Yep. Prominently.
Yeah, and Leonardo is right next to Angelina Jolie.
Gotcha. Isn't that funny?
Because, yeah, because from the aerial shot, he was in it. And then when you see the picture. But there's a big thing that Bradley Cooper now owns this, because whoever takes... the picture owns it, not whoever's camera it is. I guess this is a thing. I don't know.
I wonder if that was why Ellen was so animate about holding on to that phone. Remember? She was like, nope, I'm taking it. I wonder if that's why.
I don't know. I didn't realize that.
But now, because they said that it would be his. And I guess tweeting Twitters that get reposted, eventually it makes money somehow.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
So they were saying something about like the cash, whatever cash comes from this goes to Bradley Cooper.
Well, no.
So I don't know if that's like YouTube.
Because I thought I shot you a link in regards to that, how it's making money because Samsung is actually donating $1 per tweet. So now they're at $3 million. And they're donating it to a charity, and I forgot which
one it is. St. Jude's Children's Charity, and I want to say the ASPCA of America.
Good. Okay, got it. So
which
I thought that was cool.
I don't think you need to see of America if you say the ASPCA, right?
It's kind of like saying an ATM machine. It's an ATM.
Yeah. I think the American is the first.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
Yeah.
I love that. So true.
We should have one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
But I just thought that was very fun. And
he's an odd looking guy, isn't he?
That Cumberbatch guy? Yeah, he really is. I think.
He is. But a big giant sex symbol in.
For woo.
Yeah, right?
He plays Sherlock in a series that. No one thought was going to go anywhere. It's a giant hit on the BBC and now into America. And
couldn't figure that out for the life of me.
Big old fucking sex symbol. Like he helped sell Star Trek Into Darkness.
Couldn't prove it by me at all.
I know.
Everything is taste, people.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But I just thought that was very fun with the pictures. And when he was on there, they asked him, they're like, you became part of that picture. And he's like, I didn't figure I'd ever get the chance again, so why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah.
When am I going to be sitting in a room with...
Well, then it was funny because you could tell he almost kind of went, I kind of just said my sister will never get an Oscar again. I mean, or it'll be a long time, he says.
Yeah.
But it was just real
Or
cute.
When are you going to have a chance to photobomb with Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep, which was the whole point, which made me laugh because... The picture of Meryl Streep probably would have gotten retweeted a lot.
Oh, absolutely. But to have every Kevin Spacey and to have all of those people was just very fun.
Tyler, you're funny. Tyler says, what did you think of Adele Dazeem?
I really thought we were witnessing a medical emergency.
I thought he had a stroke.
I honestly never got over that feeling because he played up the really wicked. Like he got all
he did. You're right.
He got all the notes and like the way to say it build up and sell then, it. And then to be like, blah, blah, blah.
I smell toast.
Yeah.
Adele does it. I smell toast.
Well, can we have someone check on him? Because I think his hair plugs may have gone too deep.
There was something on, and you may actually have it in your entertainment section, in regards to, on Tuesday, just today, his people released a statement.
Oh, and it was kind of funny, saying...
Never said that he did anything wrong or did it bad or whatever, just kind of like...
No, he said he was beating himself up over it, and then he asked himself...
Get over it. I'm sorry, get over it.
Let it go. He said, what would Adina say? And she would say, let it go,
let it go. That's true, I'm sorry.
So that made me laugh. Yeah. And they said it was a very light response for what was a very light moment, because I can't remember somebody in the... When they were announcing the best... I want to say best actor. When they did one of them, they butchered someone's name.
Oh, I missed all that.
Didn't Ellen do something with Kate Hudson? I mean, I think.
No
I think,
idea.
I think. Like that she said something weird about...
I had no idea.
I'll have to look it up. But it was something where, even her name was kind of... But that was so prominent.
And it was
he looked so tragic anyway.
Yeah, that it just was not his moment.
Nothing about that. It was difficult because, you know, we... And Tyler, I know, as far as being younger, but the idea... No, but just watching... Grease and why, you know, Saturday Night Fever, and he was this.
And now all these fucking people are 60.
Like, and not just that, but my God, what was it? What happened? And how did Goldie Hawn and John Travolta end up at the same plastic surgeon?
I don't know.
Well, Goldie's been freshened up a lot.
But she seems like she got stretched this way.
But she's been making jokes about it since First Wives Club. And now you realize that First Wives Club is.
God,
well, it was filmed 19 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if that...
Jeez. Yeah. Well, and then I was even surprised. But Bette Midler is, what do we say, 69?
66? Yeah, they're all the same. She, Diane Keaton, and...
That's insane. Yeah.
Her, Diane Keaton, and Goldie Hawn, Bette Midler, and Diane Keaton are all the same age because they all turned 50 while they were shooting First Wives Club.
Oh, gotcha.
So they're all, at some point this winter, going to be 69.
That's crazy. Because, the thing with it, with music and movies and all, if you don't really follow somebody, you don't think about it, they're the same age that they were. Like if you fell in love with somebody in 1990 and that was all you focused on was the career of somebody in that era, they never age from that because to you, they're still that.
Right here.
So then when you see them, like, oh my God, they aged.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and
you
all
forget
of a sudden,
that.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Like
you're
Beaches is 25 years old.
I know.
Wow.
That 20, is actually 26. 20, it came out in 88.
It did come out in 88. You're
in 88.
Right,
I mean, like, we're talking like long, long time ago, and she was not playing a spring chicken. There either.
No.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And when she was, there were people that were mocking, and it made me laugh because obviously they've not ever watched Bette Midler or seen Bette Midler live with this, you know, how she does the arm movement. And people were like, is she break dancing? Is she this? Is she that? They were kind of mocking that, but that's so her.
Oh, yeah, and it's right out of the video. She did it.
Exactly.
They taught her that choreography for that video, and she's never changed it since.
Yeah.
Well, what also is funny, and we've all seen this as we are of an older generation and the younger generation, well, like the one who was like, what do you mean, Whitney Houston sings?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they only saw her in a movie, or they only heard her sing, and she was in a movie?
No, that party that you're talking about, the person only knew her from the reality TV show.
Oh,
they had no idea there was a movie or...
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Yeah,
oh,
they just thought it was a tragic, like, people, like Duck Dynasty, like people we found on the street. Here's a black couple in a big house, go.
Go, like, right.
That's how far, but that's what showed up at my house in 2008.
That's so crazy to me. When you
in the year of our Lord, 2008.
But that happens to other people. I mean, if you don't realize that that Bette Midler has been in countless movies.
Absolutely.
And her career goes way back.
And Stella was one she never should have done. Well, so just for anyone out there.
What is?
Stella.
Oh, yeah.
Bad.
I just think it's interesting when you don't know somebody had a different career or has many careers going at the same time, and you only know them from one way.
I don't remember when we commented on it that Cher was a has-been before all of us were born.
You did. You said that on Sunday.
Her career had already peaked and plummeted.
And it wasn't until you said, like, 1963
was I Got You, Babe.
And I never put that together.
Isn't that crazy to think it's that long
because
ago?
Because I used to watch the Sonny and Show.
50 years ago.
Sonny 50 and
fucking
show.
Years ago.
Yeah, it's a hit from 50 years ago.
Yeah.
When we were listening to stuff, when we were watching Happy Days, that'd be the equivalent of talking about something from the 20s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. That's fucked up. I gotta go.
That is crazy to think about. Yeah.
But I didn't realize that I was truly never paid attention to the fact that I was watching repeats.
Of
Sonny and Cher. The Sonny and
Current.
That was current.
Yeah. No, they were
I thought that's what you were saying on Sunday. That's why I got they so
had their, confused. They had their first hit records. Yeah. I Got You, Babe.
In the early
1963. Right. And then they crashed and burned and they were nobodies. She tried to have a film career.
Right.
And played Chastity in something.
Okay.
And then they got a TV show called The Sonny and Cher Show based on their weird stage act.
Oh,
and so they had yet another career. And then they got divorced and she had another career. It's just the Cher Show.
Yep. Okay. That's where my mind was kind of even more blown on Sunday because I thought, holy shit.
No, then she went disco and had a whole nother career. And then all of a sudden she was in movies and she won an Oscar. Yeah. And you're like, what the fuck? Does nothing keep this woman down?
Right.
But Tyler asked about Pink. So that was.
You have that. Do you have that in your entertainment?
No, we'll just cover that right now. That was just the best. Brilliant.
There were three shows. Brilliant. I didn't realize this. There was the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour.
Say that 70, five times fast. I kept
Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour.
Yeah.
71 August of 71 to May of 74. Then they bowed out for a while. Then the Sonny and Cher Show came back, 76, 77. Drop that, Cher.
And then just share.
Then just share.
Okay. But I think the second one, they were already divorced. I think when they came back. Because I think they got divorced in like 74 or 75, and I should not know that much about Cher.
I think, whatever. You have a button. You have a button.
That says ask me about Cher.
Ask me about Cher.
Ask me questions about Cher.
Yeah.
But I really thought that the Pink performance at the Oscars was one of the best that I have seen in years and years.
I agree.
Live. Like,
and if you could listen to it without David there, it was
even better.
Different. Yeah, even different, right? Because you were hysterical. I cannot believe your composure. That's all. Because I really thought you're like, now we're going to listen to it again.
Yeah.
Without commentary.
Well, he just started like what made you think this moment was good for random talking? Like, what about this moment?
Any moment, because it's the Oscars at your house. Yeah. I was, from the moment we started, I was just not happy from the moment we started.
Well, I was expecting it to get witty. So I kept wanting to maybe just rein it in and we'll find the groove and whatnot.
No.
Are you kidding? Yeah. I was like crawling like I was in Born on the 4th of July, like, crawling across because I know you don't get in front of the TV and you're not supposed to, like, unless you ask permission, move. So, and Aaron had needed cold medicine. I'm all,
but I just remembered that last year, though, it was just a different setting up last year. I just remember it being a lot more enjoyable.
I was trying to picture Buddy early involved this year because last year he kind of wanted to kill someone. This year I can't.
There were a couple times that I literally almost got up and I'm like, no, I'm going to ride this out because I'd rather spend time with you guys than just to take all my toys and go home.
I know, right? But I was really, and I mentioned that to Aaron. I said, I'm surprised that Clayton.
Well, I left very quickly.
Really, you did.
And then Martinez texts me when it's all over. And he goes, did you leave? I'm like, oh, yeah. I had to go. He goes, I wanted to stay. He goes, but I just couldn't. Not with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I thought those two together would be fun.
Yeah.
But Martinez was sober. That was why.
Yeah. And I was just drunk enough to not quite remember. Like, I know Mark was there, but I just. There was
like a minute.
There was too much. Oh, it's because he got there just as they were getting to the big category. So he was.
No, he was after. He was way after.
No, he got there before Best Actress.
He did?
Yeah, because he watched actor, actress, and picture with us.
Oh, that's right. The last three. That's true. That is the last three he watched.
Sorry, Mark. I thought he was right after.
He was surprised by how far behind
but he
we
was.
Were.
So, but he was so quiet.
Yeah, he really, didn't realize. That's true. Well, now, but as far as for what Tyler was asking with Pink's performance, I mean, the dress.
Everything about it was spectacular. Yeah. The clips were perfect. Her rendition was beautifully, beautifully done.
The the folks that did the background was, I mean, when she was crying and there's no place like home, and she's singing, forget it.
Yeah.
It was very nice.
Really nicely done. And it really shows what I think everybody knows. I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. That bitch talented.
She really is.
Like, Pink has got it going on. Just
that rasp in her voice, that it caught a couple times. Yep. Like,
she had just the right, of truly, truly, truly right match of singer and song that she understood what she was selling. It's a lullaby. Sing it simply.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's something you would sing to a child. Like, it's a very simple, lovely. I hate when people scream it. I can't stand when Sam Harris and Patti LuPone get at that. I want them to shut the fuck up.
You mean Patti LaBelle or
Patti LaBelle? I cannot stand Patti LaBelle singing that live.
That's why when somebody said something about Patti LaBelle doing that on Saturday, I don't mind them at all. I love what Pink did.
Yeah.
Oh no! I totally agree.
But I'm with you. I like those.
I like the bit. I mean, when Sam Harris did it on Star Search in '84, I loved that. Yeah. Nobody knew he was gay.
He's a hottie.
But when Doug looked up and said something about Patti LuPone doing it, Nell said, "I know," and I went, "He can't stand Patti LuPone. He always says that." And I didn't even go with it.
But it's LaBelle.
Because I thought, I don't know.
Oh, it's that screeching. That's it's a lullaby.
The beginning verse is something that a lot of people are talking about. I didn't know that there was one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure. And the EGOT for the night. The EGOT for the night went to Robert Lopez, who wrote "Fuck You, God" as a song.
yes, it did.
Yes.
Hasadiga evil eye.
You just had so much fun with that.
It really was. I can't remember. What were we just talking about?
Pink?
Getting Ginkgo Biloba for you.
Pink, yeah. The first verse.
The first verse.
And Harrison may remember it because we were staying somewhere where I was playing music off my iPod and I was like, I finally found someone singing the verse to Over the Rainbow, because it's very rare. I don't even have Judy Garland doing it.
Okay.
It's very rare to find. And there may be versions of Judy Garland actually singing the verse.
Oh, I don't know.
But it's very, very rare. And it's usually people that are playing tribute to Harold Arlen or something.
Actually, now that you say that, I may own it. There was a there's a CD, a double CD thing that I got from her, and it was from back in the day when she had the Judy Garland show back. It was at the early 60s, 61.
Oh, they would have never let her sing the verse on that.
Somewhere in there, I want to say that they're on that CD, and it may not be from that show. Somewhere on that, I think it does have that. I'll have to look.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. So much more to talk about. We have a lot of things coming up. We're gonna do. I think we're gonna do. So what is that exciting noise?
Had that turned down. My bad.
I'm like, wow, are we on safari?
Sure thought I did.
I feel like an elephant just walked across the jungle.
Could have been.
No, that was the sound that was closest to, it's from Robin Hood.
Wow. I got Robin Hood out of that, and I'm a little afraid.
Charades. I am, too. We should play charades.
Charades is fun on the radio. But you can't see it, so it works out very well. I don't
know. Anyway, it was the closest to a princess, so that's what I gave her. The end.
Mm.
Oh, I gotcha.
Like Brave.
The Little Maid Marian.
Yeah, like I assigned dog barking to Matt because he has dogs.
So there you go.
There you have it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I know when he's calling.
That's a good point.
I actually had to go through my phone.
Or you're being attacked.
But the cats freak out when he calls. They're like, I went through my phone and assigned ringtones to, like, all clients have a certain text and ringtone. Okay. People like edge people have a certain text and ringtone.
Right.
Certain people who because otherwise I don't know if I can ignore the call.
Oh, that does make it easier.
Yeah, it makes. So like if the phone's across the room and I hear a regular tone, I can wait. Sure. But if it's a client call, I might want to pay attention because we might have a complete system.
And if you
down.
Look down and go.
No,
I'm good.
I can't imagine answering that.
Yes. All right, 7:43. It's Q-Talk America, and we are going to do headlines now with Marnie and me. We'll figure it out. I just need three from you, Marnie. It works it out. Headlines on a Tuesday with Marnie and Al and me, and we'll see what happens. Well, a man drops his pants to a judge and gets jail time.
a DUI. I'm trying to drive it off.
Woman offers sex and $1,000 for a murder.
Talk about bold turkey.
Drunk man takes a plane on a joyride.
And a woman calls 911 because she hadn't been penetrated in years.
And we're not the only ones noticing that Florida has a lot of wackiness. These stories and a whole bunch more. And probably we'll talk about the Oscars again, too.
Yeah, maybe.
Weird.
Yeah, maybe.
Unusual.
Who knows? Well, I do love it that we are not the only people paying attention to all of the wackiness coming out of the Sunshine State known as the Florida. They have a disproportionate amount of weird news and originates in that state. Sure. So hardly a day goes by without hearing of some crazy tale about, say, a woman who uses 911 to make a booty call or an invasive species of a giant lizard taking over a neighborhood. Well, on Wednesday, his third night as host of Late Night with Seth Meyers, he had a little fun with this phenomena of weirdness on a game show he called. I love what they called it. Oh, where did I put it? Oh, here it is. Here's what they called it. It's called Faker Florida. He gives a
I have it right here.
They owe us money
funny.
For
he,
that.
He gives two headlines, and then they have to figure out based on if it's a real headline or not. So I figured at some point we're going to make it. That'll be our new game for here.
I like it.
Three contestants were brought on stage to
Florida
guess.
Florida or the Onion.
Yeah, well, three contestants were brought on stage to guess whether the stories Myers told were true tales of Florida strangeness or simply they were made up stories. Correct responses were met with the sound of a retiree winning a bingo game, while contestants with the wrong answer heard a pageant mom yelling at her four-year-old. With, I guess, Amber No was what they had. Naturally, the contestants who hailed from Florida was the contestant who was from Florida was blindfolded as a handicap. Per Florida custom, contestants were awarded with manatee points for correct guesses. And is typically the case.
Beautiful manatee county. Just pick a fucking name at this point.
Or a Target dress.
Is typically the case with news stories from Florida, the more bizarre sounding the incident, the more likely it is to be true. Contestant number two clearly knew that he was correctly guessing the story about a teacher telling her class that, quote, the white part of the candy cane represents Jesus because Jesus is white, had in fact happened. And had his second question, which involved a roommate dispute over sex toys. The final round was signaled by the sound of a raccoon pushing a satellite dish off of a carport. A noise as familiar to Floridians as the squawking of seagulls. All three contestants correctly answered Florida when hearing about a man who was arrested for throwing chunks of concrete at a hotel and claimed that zombies were chasing him. An oddly easy question for the final round, given Florida's well-chronicled history of bath salt-induced zombie hallucinations.
Sometimes you're the zombie. Sometimes you're the person throwing concrete.
You never know.
Don't know where you're going to land.
You don't.
The winners were awarded full-size Florida state flags, while the second-place contestant, a woman from Florida, got a book on the weird news from her home state.
Now, I thought California was a sunshine state.
California's the Golden State.
Golden State.
See, and I agree with you. I thought it was the Sunshine State.
Because I just think of the, isn't there a bear on the flag of California, too? So I'm is it the bear state? But that would lead to all the wrong questions.
That's a lot of things going on right there.
Spelling is important on that one.
Also being the Golden State.
Yeah. Whoa!
Don't pee on me, big hairy man.
Pissing on me?
You big bear.
Oh.
Yo.
Put them up.
Okay, but total against headlines. The really rottens.
The really rottens. The Yogi Ahuis, the Scooby Doobies, and the really rottens. It's the Laugh Olympics. I used to love it. It was because it was always Muttley was the dog.
Muttley. That's what it was.
The dog. That is more it.
That's what my mom used to tell me. I laughed like when I was
a little kid. You're an asthmatic kid.
Totally, yeah, apparently.
This is my daughter. She smokes Terrigen's.
Her name is Jan.
By the pack. She's eyeing up your scotch.
Sippy. Oh, well, Florida.
Are we going back?
We're going back to Florida. Two out of three of my stories take place in Florida.
Wow. So,
and the others in the Golden Bear State.
Coast to coast.
I know,
the Golden
right?
Bear State.
There you have it.
Daddy, I want a Golden Bear.
Piss on this.
Don't piss on an electric fence. That is very bad.
Bad idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
Probably happened in Florida.
So apparently in Florida, we can try to drive off being drunk.
No.
When we get the DUI, that's what we're going to tell the cops.
Okay.
We're just driving it off.
Yeah.
Oh, good idea. Good idea.
You know.
Kind of clear your mind.
Some people in other states sleep it off.
Yeah.
Some people are driving home, get caught for a DUI while they're trying to go home to sleep it off.
Yes, it can happen.
And then there are other people that apparently drive it off.
Okay.
And that would be 61-year-old Michael Moore, not to be confused
with Academy Award winning documentarian.
Correct. Bowling for Columbine, yeah. Is it word? Anyway, people like people down in Florida apparently like driving and drinking and driving it off while they're drinking home on the way to the bar. He was stopped by cops after midnight, this Michael Moore, for speeding 18 miles over the limit through Stewart, Florida, which we have not heard of yet. I don't believe.
No, I didn't.
Somewhere
mid Manatee County.
You get Manatee points.
Is it UART or EW?
UART. And it says if you don't like to fish, there's not much to do there besides drinking. So it's obviously not right in the middle. I'm assuming on the outskirts.
Or you're just fishing in a swamp.
Right.
The Glades.
He's in his backyard drunk. Like, yeah. I don't know why catching a guy.
Stewart, Florida is way down there. Okay. It's way down there. Yep, I see it.
So he told the officer he was coming from home and he had a couple of drinks. He said he was en route to the bar for a few more. Maybe not the response. I don't know.
I'm not quite done yet. Pull me over in another hour.
I'm going to be leaving later.
Exactly.
You get a much higher.
But... Exactly. I want more points.
Don't I get more manatee points?
Just take a manatee home with you.
Apparently, he was leaving the manatee because he had gotten in an argument with his wife. And that's why he was leaving home. Oh. He was safely drinking at home until that bitch kicked in, apparently.
Well, now we've gotten the real person to arrest here.
That's right. It's her fault. Always is. He told this person, the cop, that his wife told him that he had been drinking too much, so he decided to go out and drive it off.
Wow.
There you have it. Now, oddly, he was glassy-eyed and slurring, but...
I thought you were going to say he had a glass eye.
Yeah, I did, too.
God, that would have been great.
I thought you were going to go full-on Sammy Davis.
Right. Well.
No, not this one. That's in a different part of Florida.
I knew a man Bojangles, and he did.
He blew a .103, .104, so basically, he was a little
Sounds like
over.
A radio station.
Right. Oh, no, .104, that's not bad at all.
Well, but he was legally drunk.
You're like half Diana Ross there.
Right? Huh. Or other people.
Reach out and have another drink. Hello, Canada, by the way.
Hello, Canada. Anyway, he apparently slept it off instead of driving it off before his $500 bond was posted.
In a jail sale. Yeah. God.
Oh. So he was all
in. I was over a much higher number. Now, you know the expression in Florida is, the further north you go in Florida, the further south you are.
Oh, yes.
Because the metropolitan area, the part that they're also proud of is Miami, which is at the little tip of the penis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But once you get into the panhandle and everything, you're truly in the deep south.
You are.
Okay.
You're right.
So that's the thing is you're in like Oaken, what's it called? Oaky from Kono?
No.
Oaky from Muskogee?
That's Oklahoma.
I know, but they have a town just like that with some stupid-ass fucking name up there in the panhandle, too. It sounds like all those noises you just made.
Chattahoochee?
Way down yonder.
I don't know. Wait,
if only we had a way to look
I'm looking
up
the goddamn thing. Tallahassee?
I don't know. There's
Jacksonville. There's Tallahassee. There's Pensacola, Panama City.
Oka something.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah.
I'll keep looking.
Oh, there's Pascagoula down there.
That's the one.
No, but that's not in... That's in Mississippi.
Well,
okay.
Close enough.
Same thing. All right. They're cousins.
Right. And I've driven through all that shit to Orlando before.
We're Q-talk like 47 states, not all of America.
Right.
Well, Florida's going to give us up, that's for sure.
Well, anyway. Now, staying in line with the drunken, police arrested a man accused of taking a small single-wing plane from Boulder City Airport without permission. Then he took off and landed repeatedly in a drunken joyride. Paul Michael Weddle, 47-year-old man, was booked into Clark County Detention Center early Monday on suspicion of piloting an aircraft while under the influence, taking a vehicle without the owner's consent, and making a false statement to an officer. He's scheduled to appear in court Tuesday, which I assume was today. It wasn't immediately clear if he had an attorney. Now, according to the police report, an employee with a local sightseeing company called Scenic Airlines reported that someone stole the plane and had been taking off and landing several times a little before midnight on Sunday. While police who responded said that they watched the airplane taxi around at a high rate of speed, make two 360-degree turns before coming to a stop close to another aircraft. The pilot appeared to be having, quote, a hard time operating and controlling the airplane, according to the arresting officer. When the pilot eventually got out of the plane, police said he didn't comply with officer's commands and instead reached into his pockets. At that point, an officer then tackled him and cuffed him, according to the report. Now, Weedle, who police said smelled of alcohol and was slurring his speech, reportedly told officers he took the plane to complete the takeoff and landing portions of his pilot's license. Well, his blood alcohol level was later measured at a 0.13. It's unclear exactly how Weddle got into the airport in the middle of the night, although he appears to be a former employee of another tour airline company that operates out of that same airport. Now, Mark Slack, who is vice president of the administration's of the Scenic Airlines tour company, well, he refused to discuss comments as to how he might have gotten access to the plane or got into the airport. We don't know. Well, Federal Aviation Administration records do show that there is a Paul Michael Weddle of Henderson who does have a pilot's license, so we assume that that is one and the same. So here he is doing touch and goes on a goddamn plane because he wants to round out his pilot license hours. Good for you.
Good for you.
Maybe think that through a little bit more. Yeah. You know, maybe.
God.
Well, there's cold turkey, and then there's bold turkey. And this chick was a bold turkey in Sacramento, California.
B-O-L-D, bold?
B-O-L-D.
Okay.
She was trying to quit smoking. Bold turkey.
Bold turkey.
Yep. Not cold. Bold.
Okay.
She walked up because we all, me. Okay. And
she's
squirrel.
Using the royal we.
She's pointing at herself, for those of you not watching.
We all.
Like we the people.
I've tried a lot of different things to quit smoking, and April 2nd will be 5 years.
Wow, good for you.
Good for you. 5 years. I think it is 5 years coming up. And maybe four. Maybe I'm lying. But
you're the only one that knows.
Good point. 10 years. But there are many different things that people try when they're trying to quit smoking, right? Have you ever heard of, like, the rubber band?
Well, sure.
Okay, sort of lives.
Arm hurts.
It's called aversion therapy.
Something or other.
You should call him. He explains it way better than I do.
See, now, in jail, you're not to smoke.
Well, no.
No. And Edda Mae Lopez knew that.
Edda Mae Lopez.
Who, by the way, doesn't look like an Edda Mae Lopez if she jumped out and bitched.
No, Edda Mae Lopez sounds like somebody who makes one of those casseroles out of laced potato chips.
Exactly.
That's what that sounds.
I make all kinds of animal cake, except for snake, because I don't have the counter space.
Well, she came up with a new one for this.
Okay.
She walked up to a cop and slapped him so that she could be taken to jail where smoking is not allowed. She just walked up and slapped the shit.
How stupid is
out
she?
Of, well, and or how smart is she? Mm. If you're having that much trouble, I'm sure it cost her a whole lot more than a carton of cigarettes. She smacked the Sacramento County Sheriff's deputy, his name is Matt Campoy, in the face Tuesday after he left the main jail. This was just... Oh.
Hours ago?
15 minutes ago. No. And she, he let her go. He took her inside the jail because she slapped him.
Sure.
And then she slapped the shit out of him again.
Oh, good job.
So insult to injury.
She's like this tiny little thing, this 5'1", and she said she picked him because he was in uniform and she wanted to make sure she struck a law enforcement officer.
Like you do.
Like, well, duh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My God.
She had waited all day for a deputy to come outside. I wonder how many cigarettes she had.
So in addition,
she
should be charged with premeditated because she waited all day.
Oh, that's a great... Well, let's see.
Premeditated slappage.
Well, yeah. My favorite thing is that he has a new Irish name. Nick O'Derm. I thought that was fantastic. But yeah, she pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor battery and was sentenced Thursday to 63 days in jail with no credit for the 3 days that she had served and 5 days for violating a probation from a 2010. This is really weird to put this together. Drunken driving conviction. But I just thought that was 63 days. They say it takes 21 days to break a habit.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah. She's got
to start one.
Times
right?
three.
Right.
So good on her.
Good on ya.
Good luck, Etta Mae.
Etta Mae, make me a casserole out of
rice
potato
chips.
That's
what I'm saying. Etta Mae.
My God. She's a busy woman.
She's angry.
We have more. We got a couple more headlines coming up. And then Al, we're just going to turn the rest of the goddamn show over to Al. And he's just going to talk about the Oscars and things he likes.
Things I like, things I don't like.
There are so many more that you don't like. That's me for me.
Truly.
Somebody's phone is vibrating. Is it you? Is it me? I keep feeling something. I assume it's something vibrating. Maybe I'm just happy. I don't know. It's the end of hour one. Hour two is coming at you. Drinking game starts in just moments. Plus, so much more to talk about. We got 2 full hours. Stick with us. Once you join us in the chat room, it's Q-Talk America. We're coming to you live from Studio C on a Tuesday night.
You've been listening to The Show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Ooh, good evening once again. 8 o'clock straight up on a Tuesday night. You're in studio with The Show on Q-Talk America. Thank you for joining us. I'm Clayton McKee alongside Al Perkins, Marnie Reiner, and an empty seat where Katie would normally be. She may or may not still be joining us. She had some human rights campaign things to do tonight and potentially followed by some sort of a meeting. It all seems very...
Some sort of a what have you.
I don't know. She's got a lot going on with the HRC gala coming up at the end of this month. So she's, I'm sure, getting very... Lots of things. She got lots of irons in the fire. That's all right. Good for Katie. She needs to be busy. She only got a wife and a daughter. My God.
She doesn't have enough going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have nearly enough happening
I'm
in her life.
I'm far busier than she is.
Well, yeah.
God. And more important.
You also have more animals. I think that may be part of it.
That's really a good point.
Just a guess. Not sure.
That's a good point.
As we do, starting off every second hour, we do start it with a little thing called the drinking disclaimer, and it goes something like this.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
We're learning a new word today.
Oh, enjoyable.
What?
What is it? What is it?
Stop it.
What is it?
Really?
What's the word? Leave it alone. My name is Kim.
Jesus.
I was in vertigo.
Kim Novak.
Hello. But again, she's still alive.
Well, maybe this is the dead voice.
So now if someone describes something as being absolutely jumentous, would you think that was good or bad?
Jumentous. Well, I would say good because I thought OUS.
If I'm a Jew, I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. Not the right root word, strangely.
No, but I'm just saying. I would think it's great.
It's just J-U, not J-E. I would think it was a good thing.
It means smells like horse urine.
You're jumentous.
Why is there a word that just specifically goes for the scent of horse urine?
Why do people fuck cars? I'm going to always go back to that.
Exactly.
Ever since I found that, I'm going to go right back to
that. It's your official fallback now.
Well, how can it not be? Anytime I think, well, I wonder why people do... Oh, people fuck cars. That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly. Because it's jumentous.
And it's now, is there a jumentary? Yeah. Is there a, like, how does this
I
work?
Just love that has a word.
Okay, do that again.
How do you spell it?
Say it again, what it is.
Jumentary. Jumentary. Smells like horse urine.
Smells like
Can I get a spelling, please?
Yeah.
J-U-M-E-N-T-O-U-S. It's such a simple word, and it says so much.
Just like it's spelled.
I find you jumentous.
Oh, I'm going to, I swear to God, I'm going to use it. As a, you are jumentous. You well, are. Thank you. Yeah.
You need to put that on like Facebook things.
Right.
I just think you are completely jumentous.
Just jumentous.
You truly are.
Now, the funny thing
is, it's all people talk about when they see you. Yeah. She's jumentous.
Tell Buddy Early he's jumentous.
The sad part is, I'll say to somebody like, fuck you, I do not smell like horse urine. Somebody will come right back at me. That'd be horrible.
Oh. I love it. And I love that. Now, did you follow up with that? She went to a jail that allowed smoking, so she never had to quit anyways.
No, I didn't. That's what I was going to look up. And Harrison, by no means did you call me out. I don't know if you saw the... Well, Harrison's not watching, right?
No.
Because I don't know if it, like, you could see the look on my face when I went, and that's why I said, like, 15 minutes ago. Because I had read a story that I was going to use that had just happened.
Oh.
And so that's the one, and you said, well, when did this take place? And it was May of 2013.
Oh.
Yeah.
So when I'm reading it, I'm like, anyway, moving along.
Yeah.
We like to keep us some current topics.
Well, a lot of times, like when it sends you to other stories, yeah, like at the bottom of CNN, you click on it and you think it's some hot news thing, and you're no, like, no, it was from like April of 2011. Right. You're like, come on. Right.
1987 called, and yeah, they want their story back.
Damn it.
Anyway.
Well, you know, I mentioned earlier that we are all of a certain age, and certain things people don't notice, or you know, we watch people grow up and learn things as they go. Well, a North Carolina teenager learned that, he faces time in jail after pulling his pants down while walking away from a judge. And not like in a park, like in an actual courtroom. Oh, no. Jonathan Lee Gaddy of Burlington, North Carolina, was in court this week to face an underage drinking charge. Alamance County District Court Judge Jim Robertson told him twice to pull his sweatpants up to his waist. Well, Gaddy yanked his pants down to above his knees on his way out of the courtroom, exposing his underwear to the entire courtroom. Well, it did not please the court. Robertson ordered him taken into custody for 10 days in the Alamance County Jail for Thursday's offense. Robertson also scolded Gaddy for laughing and making disruptive outbursts in his courtroom. Gaddy followed his attorney's advice and apologized to the judge and is now serving his 10 days.
I have a question. Did he quit smoking?
I don't know.
Remember there was a story, like, was it last year or not too long ago, where the guy, like, mouthed off to the judge and the judge was like, oh, you need to say that louder. And the kid thought it was funny and he's like, man, contempt of court. You're getting charged.
Oh.
And then the kid like turned around and said something under his breath, and he's like, no, I gotta turn around and say that again.
Another charge.
You're talking to your microphone there, buddy. And the kid got like all kinds of jail time.
Oh, I don't remember.
And it was just
that.
Some kid just thinking he was gonna be a smart ass.
Yeah, no.
Sure.
You don't mess with the man.
No, not even
no
a
man,
little
no
bit.
Sir.
No, so, no,
however you self identify. So if you haven't been penetrated in
lately?
Years.
Oh, okay, we're back.
In Florida, at least.
Oh.
You should call 911.
Jumentous.
For sex. woman is...
Jumentous down
Jumentous.
There.
Jumentous.
Well, maybe that's why she hasn't been penetrated in 10 years. That woman is Jumentous. Maria Montanez colon. Cologne.
Oh, wow.
But still, we can go with colon.
Yeah.
She's Jumentous. Anyway, she was apparently drunk.
Allegedly.
Allegedly drunk. And that was my Kim Novak voice. Allegedly drunk.
You got to go way lower than that if you want
allegedly.
To buy Kim Novak.
Brad Pitt is still a soprano.
I still understand that.
He came out and he had such a deep voice when he walked out. And Kim Novak was backstage like, he's got nothing.
Oh,
me. Not a chance. Anyway, she called 911 twice in search of a cop to do extra duty.
Oh, no.
Extra duty.
Oh, wow.
She's like, I need you to come over here and do my business.
That's right.
Wow.
Do mentor business.
Climb up on top of me and do my business.
Okay.
Yes. She was rubbing an officer who was dispatched to her house while telling him, I'm so horny.
Oh, good for
her.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Now, that is the right use of technology, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, literally, down, 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 make a cop come.
Yeah.
How did she lure them? What did she say
she
to get him to come to the house?
She is open to business to everyone.
Well, let's see.
Does it say?
Police say the initial 911 call happened just after 6, And she complained that she wanted her Corvette back. Maybe that's what she calls her jumentary region.
Her little red Corvette.
Oh, I like it.
There's a lot of horses and some of them used.
A lot of trouble.
Well, all the jockeys that were there before me.
I'm a jockey. That's what I'm saying.
When the officer arrived, she was real drunk.
Yeah.
She was real drunk.
Drunk and horny.
She's 58.
Out of batteries.
Yeah, but this is the second person we've had is like real drunk and they were at like 0.10.
Right. Well,
we're at like legal 5 years ago.
I don't remember. It didn't say.
I'm gonna need to know how long it's been since she's been penetrated in her
real
alcohol.
Well, it's her fifth arrest since the beginning of 2013. All right, well,
we've got an achiever here.
An overachiever, really. well... Okay, anyway.
Yeah, that's it.
I didn't, no. Jumentary. Anyway, she told the officer that he was sexy and asked if he was married. And then she started kind of oversharing a little bit, according to the deputy who showed up.
Who got rubbed. And, he who got rubbed.
She said, I haven't been penetrated in years and I'm so horny. And the officer tried to steer the conversation, you know, a different direction. And her response was, you can fuck me.
Wow.
Yeah. You're good.
Well, it says expletive, but I'm assuming.
Assume the position.
Right.
Hump. Fuck.
I'm just saying.
Prestidigitate.
So. Jumentary.
Jumentary.
Anyway.
It's jumentary, dear Watson. It's so gross.
Is that horse piss? No, it's Jumentary. It's the new scent from Glade. They're a family company.
Jumentary is here.
Do you miss your years in the fields?
Have no fear, Jumentary is here. Yeah,
it sounds like a horse piss covered superhero.
Woo!
Well, new from Febreze.
You always know when Jumentary is coming. You always know when he is near.
Oh, God. Like a babbling brook.
Oh. Well, and this woman she doesn't give up. Montanez, colon.
Well, she shouldn't.
Colon.
Well, she apparently, the guy left. He was like, I have to go after getting rubbed. And that he was apparently, she called to say that the cop was pissed off at her. And so the original officer showed up with another officer.
Yeah. Oh, then she's thinking she's getting a tag team.
She's like, it's an orgy.
Oh, I'm going to get penetrated and penetrated.
I saw this in a movie.
She complained, but she then said that he was a perfect gentleman. But when I asked him to expletive me, he turned me down and that made me angry.
Oh.
She was a little sauced.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
I'm sure she didn't stand her ground and shoot him. Mount this or you die.
How ugly is she?
Not pretty. There is a picture. when asked by the original officer, she remembered the conversation about the misuse of 911 that the original officer had bestowed upon her.
Ooh.
She said, I do, but how else am I going to get you to expletive me?
It's a fair point.
It really is.
You can't.
It really is.
If you don't call them, they're not just going to show up and fuck you. You got to give them some notice that you want it.
Keeping in mind, those five arrests that she had since the beginning of 2013 were for the misuse of the emergency line.
Oh, good.
So, God bless her. She's persistent. And I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, Maria. So,
Maria.
Yeah.
Oh, I see her. I see her. I see her.
That's Maria.
I see her.
And,
wow.
But God bless her. She's a widow.
God bless her.
She's a widow. And, you know, maybe that's why.
Now, what she's saying is she's rubbed one off, but not been penetrated.
But not been penetrated.
Yeah.
Correct. So, basically, boys, just steer clear of Florida.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's all.
For really, for so many.
I mean, it is a jumentary state.
Okay, you're going to go let her in?
Yep.
Stand by.
It is in a state of jumentary.
Wow.
That's my thought. Now it's time for me to have one. That's all. Katie June is here. I got to have a cocktail.
She's coming in. She finished her duties.
I wonder if Katie June remembers anything about Kim Novak.
Oh, I'm sure she does. She was
there. I
know. And in between interruptions from what's his name? Yeah, it all works
welcome,
out.
Welcome, Katie June. it's so like, good
hi,
to have
KJ.
It's so good to have you, Katie June. How are you? Little Kim, a little Kim Novak. Gotcha. Kim Novak loves Katie June.
Well, we're going to stay with women and sex. Katie came in at a good time. Women and sex.
Women and sex.
We just had a 911 call to get penetrated. Now, this woman is offering sex and $1,000 for murder. Ah. Wausau, Wisconsin. A Wisconsin woman is accused of plotting to kill her fiancé. Why don't you just break up with him? 33-year-old Jessica Strom of Merrill appeared in court on Monday. She's charged with conspiracy to commit first-degree intentional homicide. Is there first-degree unintentional homicide? According to court records, Strom allegedly tried to arrange the murder last week through a friend that she had known while taking a criminal justice class at North Central Technical College. That person, being smart and studious, contacted police who set up a sting operation in which Strom allegedly laid out plans to, quote, kill her on and off again boyfriend, court documents said. WAOW-TV reports that Strom allegedly offered her former classmate $1,000 and sex in exchange for the murder. Strom remains behind bars on a $250,000 cash bond. TV reports say she's due back in court on March 12th. Online court records do not list a defense attorney.
Or a smoking habit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think she smoked at all.
I don't think so.
See, she was good with that one. Oh, I have to turn you on.
Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Hey. Hey. Oh, poke and tickle.
Well, and I don't understand, is it that somebody just, this happens all the time, that someone's like, you know what? I'm going to kill my old man, my old lady. And they just go to like a random stranger.
Yeah. Well, this is somebody
they met in an online college course.
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice.
Class.
Sure. But I mean, it's good enough. Like, it's just like, there was a murder plot here recently where some teenager went to like a random other dude that he knew that he found on the internet. He's like, yeah, so can you kill my grandpa? And the guy's like, sounds like a plan.
Well,
a cop.
It's called Tonya Harding.
I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. I'm going to bet. I think this Strom lady, I don't think she's really an academic person because
she's not jumentary, as it were.
She was in a criminal justice class. I'm going to guess the first thing they teach you is murder for hire, illegal.
Absolutely.
Not good. Yeah.
Even there, you know, thou shalt not kill.
Not from the halls of academia.
Yeah, no, we can't have that. Or the halls of justice.
And I wonder if she was in the class to learn what not to do, in which case she also fucked up real bad.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
She was
good call.
But maybe she went to the class knowing that she wanted to kill her boyfriend, husband.
Right. Or fiance. This is like the people who Google how to make a bomb so that they can make a bomb and then nobody will catch them because they Googled it from home.
My name is Casey Anthony, and I'm going to look up chloroform now.
How do you kill children? And then when her child dies, we immediately seize her computer. How did they find me? Well, we looked at your goddamn search history.
Yeah.
So hard.
How do you kill children.com.
Yeah.
No, we're on to you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they had that website.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The old joke about that when they take down porn from the internet, the only website will be where the hell did the porn go.com.
Somebody should buy that domain name.
I have a feeling Clayton will.
Hey, you can buy domain names easily.
Exactly. By the end of the night.
I feel like I need to Google if that's existing.
Go ahead.
Where did all of the porn go.com?
See what comes
up. Where has all the good porn gone?
Long time passing.
If you want to get penetrated, go here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Good.
And if you want it to smell like jumentary, come back here.
Jumentary.
And in Florida, they'll rub you off.
Yeah.
But nope, not penetrate.
No, we can't do that.
Nope.
I forget what I call your section here somewhere. What do I call it?
Entertainment.
No. Well, I think I did, but I don't know if I named. Oh, I did. It's right there.
Oh, there you have
it. It's so amazing how computers work, and I forget where I hide things from myself. It's really good. It's it's time, because Katie just got here. It's not time for Katie to do anything.
Thanks, y'all.
It is time for what we like to call Al Perkins' little... Well, it's when the show actually just becomes Al's show, so it doesn't matter. By the way, our drinking word is jumentous. If you don't know what that means...
Well, and I don't.
Oh, it means smells like horse piss.
Nope. Fantastic.
I know.
Isn't that just jumentous?
Al is the giver. He's the giver of knowledge today.
He had asked if it was, you know, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing? And I said, well, if I'm a Jew, I think it's a good thing. You know, I'm jumentary, but... No.
Not if it's horse piss.
No. No.
And I've been around a lot of horses and a lot of piss.
Yikes. I've been around a lot of Jews.
I
don't know.
Wow,
right?
There we go.
I don't know.
Well, that's our second Sammy Davis reference.
I'm not
reference.
Saying that they're...
The Jews ever let up, the Catholics come back in. It's good. Anyway, it is time for entertainment with Al Perkins.
The Oscars have their highest rated telecast in a decade. John Travolta takes over the universe by being semi-retarded.
Oh, God.
fun jokes, night with surprises. Netflix has a bunch of new movies streaming this year, so I have all kinds of recommendation. Frozen passes a million in the worldwide box office this weekend. Bea Michelle CD's new show is out. And Looking gets renewed.
Ooh.
Get entertainment. Yeah, so the big news for the Oscars is they turns out they fucked me over and they scheduled it for 3.5 hours. I had taped it, thank God, for the right times, right. But didn't pay attention. So they are no longer pretending it's a 3-hour program. They're just going from 6:30 to 10.
They have a buffer.
Game's over. We're not pretending we're going to do this in 3 hours.
They never do, and then that's when they have to play everybody off, and it's awkward.
Right. It looks better just. Yeah.
Just give yourself an extra half an hour and enjoy it.
I almost say they just make it a 4-hour show and let's just let everybody say what they need to say.
Well, no, because when they get to 3:45, things get everybody gets a little tense.
Oh, okay.
And we it took us about 5 hours to watch it, I think.
And I think they were more relaxed because they did have the pizza.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe some of them were more like, okay, because I haven't eaten for 7 days.
And what would have been a weird joke really played because they all ate it. And for how long you could go back and watch them actually
they were
eating the pizza.
Right. There were pictures of them eating it backstage. Stage. They were eating it in the wings.
Oh yeah, the pizza.
Dressing rooms.
Was everywhere. And that guy got $1,000 tip.
I love it.
She collected $600 from the audience for real, and then she gave him $400.
Yeah.
I guess he was on the show yesterday.
He was. I watched the
Ellen.
Yeah, he came on Ellen.
He came out and did the whole segment where it was funny. And then they served pizza to the audience of Ellen. But it was funny because he literally was told that he was bringing pizza to writers or producers and just to wait backstage, and then all of a sudden she comes out of nowhere and grabs him. I don't know that the initial thing was that they knew that she was going to pull him out there.
Oh, I don't think so either.
She told him to stand right there, and she was like, "You follow me when I go." And she's like, "Okay." He's like, "I don't know what we're doing." All of a sudden, "All of a sudden, I'm on stage at the Oscars."
That's
which
fantastic.
Is just
it was so
and
cool
he was such a cutie
and they yeah. showed some I did see some video was it during the Oscars I can't remember but they played the video where he was went back to his pizza shop and was like oh my god
oh,
and
I all of
his
seen that.
Yeah there
oh,
was no, video
that was after
and it was so cute and his pizza shop was so excited and he
sure.
was so excited
well, anyway Ellen said something like you know is there anyone that you want to that you would like to see and he's standing in front of Julia Roberts like I'm right here.
Yeah. He even said on Ellen that, and back in Moscow, which is where
he's
from. He used to watch Pretty Woman and all of her movies, and he'd always just love her to be standing right there
and serving her a slice.
Oh, so that was real.
Serving her a slice. Serving
her a jumentary.
There you go.
It's so, jumentious.
It is.
I like jumentary because that's what I called it before.
Okay. Got it.
But 43 million viewers.
It means being pissed on rather than pissing on.
That's true.
Golden State.
It is the Golden
State. Golden Bear State.
Golden Bear State. So the biggest non-sports audience since the 2004 Friends finale. It is the third year in a row that the ratings are up.
The biggest non-sports audience since the Friends finale?
Yep.
That's
10 years
crazy.
Of huge numbers.
And how long ago was the Friends finale for those of us?
2004.
Wow, 10 years.
Yeah, Friends and Frasier both went off in 2004.
Wow.
Frasier was such
a good
show.
And Sex and the City all ended in that same few weeks of just sad TV. Lots of crying at my house. So the Oscars beat the Golden Globes by 22 million, and they had more viewers than the Grammys by 14.5 million. So if you think the Oscars are going somewhere, they're not.
No.
Right.
11.2 million tweets about the event. So that's really good. So everything about it, from every standpoint, the Oscars did well. Basically well-reviewed from top to bottom. Pink, just the best she's ever been.
Yeah.
Bette Midler was good, showed her age a little bit, maybe a little bit of strain. But I think...
I thought she was great.
Oh, I did too, but she's just not... She's just
may
not
I
up
just,
to... She's 68.
The interesting thing that I thought, because then later with Adele Dazeem, where all of a sudden... she was having difficulty. And granted, nerves, you had said, you thought, and everything else, but... With the orchestra, as Clayton had pointed out, not being there
in the Capitol building, weren't they?
Capitol. In fact, I just wanted to know exactly how far away the two are, so I'm Googling directions.
Well, there was one point.
It's quite a distance.
There was one point where Bette was singing, and normally would start belting out this one part, and all of a sudden went up to her ear, and then kind of went and put her hand on the inside of her arm, kind of like. Oh, that wasn't you probably shouldn't do that, touching your ear stuff, whatever. And she physically put her arm down, but you could tell that's right where she did not sing the way she normally would have. And I thought, interesting. Then that happened with
And I think they're Adele both used to dealing with conductors that are there that they can kind of feed
off
of.
And I wonder how the sound came through, and maybe it was a little bit more than just
And I really thought
nerves.
With the Idina Menzel, I mean, I think, look, I listened to it back. They shortened the song.
Oh.
They had purposely cut the song down, so they were missing part of it. And then I felt like it was just too fast. And I felt like she couldn't see a conductor to be like,
slow it down, buddy.
It
was. She was ahead of it, right? She was ahead of it.
No, they were ahead of her.
Oh,
she was,
okay. See, that's what I was hearing.
To me, they were playing too fast, and she was like crazy trying to catch up. And then she just went sharp at the end, and it just all went wrong. When she went sour.
It is exactly a mile away. The Dolby Theater from Capitol Records building is exactly a mile
so
down.
So great technology. Maybe work on that. But rewatching it back on my computer, it didn't sound as bad as it did to us.
Sitting there.
Okay. Like, 'cause that was kind of shocking.
And a friend of mine posted on something on Facebook about how it was just, a friend of mine said it was just the end. Everyone kind of noticed that sharp at the end. And this is a friend of mine who's been in choir and theater and music, and she said it was great. She goes, I feel like she was a little thrown off by the name thing, and then the end was a little bit weird. But a friend of mine said overall it was good, and I'm thinking, were we watching the same performance? Because I remember thinking it was horrendous.
Watching it back, it's not bad, but the end goes sour, and then you're like, oh, because you can just see what's.
And I think like just having personally seen her live and hearing her voice,
name dropper.
Yeah, well, I was in row 7. It's no big deal.
I have to agree with you.
Well, but like and hearing her voice on recordings and in the movies. I mean, she is just. So amazing. And she went on Jimmy Fallon.
And then did a really cute version.
And did such a good version.
With preschool instruments. It was very cute.
It was very cute. It's all over
and
Facebook.
And she like belted it out when she's sitting in this little room.
But there isn't as much
pressure. There's no pressure.
Because
it was just fun and preschool instruments.
Yeah. And so that it was odd. But I'm glad that, I mean, this many viewers, it's a good sign for Ellen DeGeneres and for the winners.
Did you notice that people were saying that they weren't impressed with Ellen at all?
Okay.
What is the story with that?
I feel like I need to jump on the bandwagon. I heard it. Yeah. I'm sure you guys have already discussed, but
we waited for you.
Thank you. I said that night, too, that it was like watching a comedy show. Like, I was so entertained from start to finish of that broadcast of the Oscars like I have never been in the past. Yeah. That entertained and engaged. And I thought that was all Ellen.
And you had to keep paying attention because she was throwing zingers.
Oh, yeah.
She was throwing excellent zingers at people. And if you weren't paying attention, and you were going to be like, what?
There were people who said that she was offensive and boring, and I just, like, none of those things
it was very casual.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't try to do,
song
like,
and dance.
Yeah,
and
she just kept it very casual, but it kept you engaged, and she played off the fact that, like, I'm here between two movie stars, I'm going to take a selfie. Yeah. And I can't remember who she was. Was it between Leonardo DiCaprio and
Sandra Bullock when she kind of jumped forward.
They didn't know she was there.
Yeah.
Was like, there was just some fun,
she was
lighter
really great.
Moments, I thought. Yeah.
Well, and to come out in the Good Witch.
Yes. Glinda, my cousin.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She comes out in that outfit, and people were like, what? I don't get. Well, Whoopi had just had the other socks on, and she was the Wicked Witch of the West, and I thought it was very cute.
And if Pink hadn't have been so good, I think that.
It would have caught.
No, but I think that whole tribute to the Wizard of Oz would have been like, huh?
Weird.
Because to have the family just sit in the audience and not say anything.
I thought that was a little awkward to have them just stand up, sit down. That's all they
did. And one of our big heroes in movies is Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz. Like, huh? Like, I thought it was a bit, like, I thought we were stretching things a little too
thin. But it was an anniversary.
Right. But the two gay boys who are in charge, Neil and Craig, they found a way. Like, you're wandering through the woods and all of a sudden Pink just comes out and sings something
like that. Right. Well, which was amazing.
And thank God it wasn't Lorna left.
Right.
You know, like, can you imagine?
Also, did you see on the red carpet,
Liza? I said thank God it wasn't Liza.
Yeah, what was the story?
Did you see Liza on the red carpet?
So everyone's saying that
she wasn't wearing a bra. But
and
here's
satin, I'm assuming.
And you could straight see, like, areola, nipple, like, everything. Like, it was, like, the full Monty.
I'm probably going to be upset at myself, but I'm going to Google Liza Red Carpet.
There's no missing it.
No coming back.
No, it is all like giant.
But all of a sudden it was this big thing about her hair. like that she wore this blue streak, actually, and I thought, good for her.
What I was reading,
and then I
was
read down and went, oh,
that she was so like. That what I read about her fashion was the hair was really cool and good for her for rocking the streak of blue and the cool blue outfit. But it was just like, and I thought she actually looked pretty cool.
Looked good. And
with
like
the exception
blue,
of the
short of the areola,
total areola,
yeah, basic foundation garments, lady.
Yeah,
because you were born during World War II.
Yeah. And the saggy.
You need a bra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is she? Is she 3 feet tall?
How That's
tall
very
is
dementous.
She's tiny. She is so tiny.
No,
well,
but she's...
maybe she was one of the Munchkins.
No, she's not one of them.
But Judy,
no,
Judy Garland was only like 4'9 or 4'10.
Yeah, she was shorty.
She is a tiny woman.
Tiny, tiny, tiny. So Liza's a little bit bigger, but not by much. God knows she was a dancer. So huge ratings there. What else do I have on my list? The other thing about the whole show is really this was the first year in a while that there was not one surprise really. In every category. I kept hoping for something.
For some reason, I kept being surprised. Every answer was like, well, I was shocked.
Because nothing that I picked. Remember last week I told you,
yes,
this is
and
what
so
I want to win,
judged
not
all
what
my
I think
things,
we'll win.
Right, based on your want to win.
Not one of my want to wins really one. Came true. We didn't
leave
the script at all.
Certainly Julia Roberts didn't.
No.
Because I had put that down. I thought it was fantastic. Clayton, you had left before everything was tallied, I think, didn't
no,
you?
No, I was there to make sure
the
that
tally?
I lost.
Oh, yeah. Steve, look at that.
Yeah, because I got
no,
10
I
right.
No, I know you got 10, but
I got
know
14.
If you had, yeah,
no,
we
I was there because
tied.
Because remember, it was this one thought she could marvel mathematics and tabulate shit, and I was like, just
oh,
give
right.
it to me, I'll add it up, and you can write it down.
I was working in the other room.
I was just the tick marker.
That's right.
One, yeah. Two, three.
But it worked.
And 14, we each got 14, so we...
That was pretty good.
And it was.
The winners had 18.
And Mouthy over
17.
Here...
17.
17. Mouthy over here, well, and I mean that politely, was like, she never listens. And I pointed out, and I'm like, what? Bitch, I got a list. And
you probably would have won if you would have not gone with what I picked
well,
last year's my personal choices.
Well, because I was writing so fast that I did the I was like,
the
okay,
list
these
was
are
good.
The personal choices, and these are the... shit, and I didn't put
which
side.
Which was which.
Yeah.
But it, so it was good. So, I mean, I was really hoping for an Amy Adams upset or maybe a Leo upset, but I think...
Harrison. Or at least a pasty, if not a bra. She could have called Miley.
Yes.
It's got to be something.
That's fantastic.
So now the big thing that's all over, like, Twitter and the news is the Liza as a drag queen joke.
Oh, yeah, that's the big... Right. Yeah,
very
good
well
job,
done.
Sir.
Well done, sir.
Yeah,
which was hilarious.
I think
and
it's funny.
I don't think that's offensive. Okay, I'm not a part of the transgender community, but Why a lot
that?
Of men drag queens dress
yes.
up as
and
Liza,
that
and that was
Celia
the
putty.
Point. I guess I just feel like okay, use it as an opportunity to get your like voice
agenda.
Heard, but. Come on, Ellen,
Come
really?
On. Yeah,
is Ellen really against the transgender community?
Oh, no, but Liza
if
said...
If Alec Baldwin had been up there, maybe, but,
yeah.
you know.
But Liza said that she should have said something about, I know it's you, Liza. Liza was offended that she left it standing.
Oh, Liza was offended.
Yeah, Liza actually said it wasn't very funny because she didn't then fix the joke and say, no, it's you, Liza.
It
she
is you.
She walked away and said, congratulations, sir. And then she wasn't introduced again sure. till the part about her mother. So
Got
she
it.
Was a little bit... Hurt, she said. Her and Ellen are friends, and she thought she could have at least acknowledged that it really was
sure.
Liza Minnelli, not a man there. I don't know, but I think
yeah.
Liza was kind of hurt.
I'm
going to
kind of go with
that.
Let it go.
I think so too.
Yeah,
like Liza, you're
you.
Big. Everybody yeah. knows you.
And I didn't think it was mean. I thought it was funny. But I'm not Liza, and nobody called me a drag queen.
Well,
so
and
I don't
and
know.
The thing
you're
is
not 67.
I really thought she looked good.
I did too.
I thought
apparently,
she looked great.
Minus the
nip slip.
Yeah, the nip slip.
No, she's got to be 70 this year.
67, born March 12th, 46.
Yeah, remember he looked that up.
Oh, I okay.
And that's what we were saying because she's 67, Beth's 68.
My mom's same age, 67.
Absolutely. We were like, what? Yeah.
And by the way, just for those of you keeping score, I want to know both Liza Minnelli and Lorna Left are 5'4". Their mother, Judy, was 4'11".
Wow.
Height.
Okay.
Yeah, very.
God damn, that's a tiny. All that voice coming from that little bit
of woman. And at one point when she had hepatitis. She had ballooned up to like 140 or 150 pounds, and on a 4'10" person,
sure.
she was a balloon.
Right, just
sure.
a ball.
So that when she would
if
get
she were
skinny,
shorter,
she was
she'd be a circle.
She was Kristen Chenoweth, like tiny,
tiny,
tiny.
Wow.
Woody.
What?
If she were any shorter, she'd be a circle.
She'd be a
yeah.
circle.
God, it's one of my favorite lines ever out of a human being.
It's the honest to God truth. So Looking oh, from HBO guy. Got renewed for a second season. I just find the show so pleasant. It was another great episode
Jason.
This week.
He loves it. Yeah.
Very pleasant. Yeah. It's all people you know. It's very simple. It's not terribly exciting. I'm not going to lie to you.
But it's just enjoyable.
Yeah. And it's not so self-serving and nauseating as Girls. Like, you don't actually want to physically hurt members of the cast. Well, they talk.
I just love Allison. I really love Allison Williams, and it makes me so sad.
Yeah, that like now she wants to be a music star. Like, I had to give that up like 3 weeks ago. Yeah, she was singing songs from Rent 1 week, and then she had a video, and I was like, I'm done. I can't watch white women be this unhappy. So Looking got renewed for a second season, and now we get to the end. This Sunday is going to be the season finale of True Detective, which I think helped Matthew McConaughey's Oscar chances, was the fact that he's, you know, currently in this spectacular HBO series. And I really think that helped his chances, that people every week were like, okay, he's a fucking great actor, because he's playing, like, the detective in the 90s, the detective in 2002, and then the detective today. Like, he plays this, he's playing the part over three different ages through the course of each episode, and it's a tricky fucking show, and I seriously need someone to explain every part of it to me.
It's brilliant. Did you watch Sundays, you said?
Yeah, and I had to watch it again. This is the third episode I had to watch a second time, because I'm like, brilliant. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Brilliant.
But the guy in the lawnmower has something to do with that. That's what I've decided.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, he's the killer. He's it.
Well, either that or they're hiding behind him. I think it's the, and I can't think of that douchebag. He always plays a douchebag. The guy who
golfing?
No, the one who's like the big wig guy, not the sheriff, but the couple episodes ago where
they wanted to take away the case.
Yes. And I think he is there some kind of a
cult that they're all following
kind of
him.
Thing, right? Yeah, absolutely. He's the head of
what
the
is
cult.
This?
It's called True Detective. Matthew McConaughey
So this cult
Woody
situation
Harrelson.
Is in the show.
Yeah,
Woody okay. Harrelson. Yeah, but we're just guessing because idea. I still don't know
everywhere.
What's going on with the little girl that was missing in the first episode. I still have not tied
but
her into the plot.
But that's the whole video thing.
Yeah,
that's the video that they just watched.
Yes, they did. That was
terrifying. Yeah,
it's so good. Oh, so then Netflix and they're constantly trying to change what they're streaming every month and trying to keep people from me to stop bitching about you can't just have streaming because you're missing so many good movies.
Right.
If you don't get DVDs as well. Well, this month they added The Ice Storm, which is Ang Lee's classic movie about the 70s with a cast of thousands. It's Sigourney Weaver's best role ever. It is one of the movies I have always been shocked was not nominated for more Oscars. It should have been Best Picture. It should have been Best Actress. The Oscars should have been flying at this movie. It's on Netflix. Dirty Pretty Things, which I talk about all the time with Chiwetel Ejiofor and Amelie, Audrey Tautou, in a Stephen Frears movie.
Dirty Pretty Things, I thought that was a television show.
No, that's Pretty Little Liars.
No, that's a different, there's a different.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Dirty Pretty Things, and this is the movie about the London Hotel. We're about 30 minutes in, you're like, what the fuck is this movie about? And then about 5 minutes later, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they made a movie about that. And it is so fucking good. Dirty Pretty Things.
Okay, wait, hold on. I feel like I need to take notes.
You do.
My computer is like dying on me a little slowly. So, okay, Dirty Pretty Things. Good.
The
it's
Ice
on
Storm.
Netflix.
Yep, they're on Netflix streaming. Mud with Matthew McConaughey, which I thought was the better role of the two of him. As good as that one is, I thought he was good in Mud as well. Okay. The Silence of the Lambs is on Netflix. So if you've never seen it, Letterboxd, you've
Seriously,
never seen it in pristine
so
form. The Silence of the Lambs is on Netflix in its most pristine form ever, and it looks beautiful. I checked already before I came here to make sure. And then, Katie, I think you'll love Center Stage, Backstage at the Ballet with Gorgeous Dancing. Susan Stroman directs. Center Stage is
good because I know like the feature film Center Stage.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it.
So it's on Netflix streaming now. So if you want a little dancing, a little early 2000, choreography world was doing that wasn't too
Weimariner. The hell was that?
I don't know.
Weimariner.
I was trying to fit Jumentary into it, and I couldn't. So that's there. And then Lea Michele's CD came out today. It's available on iTunes as of today, or I think you can probably go somewhere and buy it. I don't know of anybody that has any bonus songs, but they've been releasing like one song at a time for the last 3 months, and the whole CD came out today. I've listened to like 4 or 5 songs from
it. What do you
think? It's pretty good.
Okay.
You know, she's struggling to not be a Broadway singer. She's trying to get her place in that Kelly Clarkson, Miley Cyrus kind of void.
Do you think so?
Yeah, she's trying to get like a
she
pop.
Would, no, but I mean, do you think she'll be able to do that?
I think she's got a couple songs on there that have a shot. And she's trying to like get something that can be remixed and get kind of an anthem out there.
I don't know, because I bought, I think, one of her songs because it's Lea Michele and I love her. Yeah. But like, I guess I would buy... I tried to buy Idina's songs when she released like a pop album.
Stand, was it called Stand?
Yeah,
or
and
Stand
I just
Up?
Didn't really love it. But I will listen to her sing Frozen over. I'll listen to her sing a Broadway song over and over and over. And like those voices to me are just, they're so Broadway and they're so perfect.
Yeah,
and so it's hard for me to hear like.
But no, but she's been doing pop songs on Glee for so long that it's not as hard.
She
has
been, but it's just, but it's hard for me.
Someone else's. Yeah.
It's hard for my brain.
Right, and this time it's not somebody else hearing it first, because the Herbert the Paramore song. Oh God, what the hell's the name of that Paramore song?
The new one?
No. The oh, for the love of Jesus!
If only we. Had
I can't
way.
Google. My computer is. Basically broken.
I don't know what you've done.
It's like very strange. I need to.
That's gonna drive me. It's gonna drive me absolutely nuts. So we'll talk about that. So, anyways, her album has a couple good songs on there. Honest to God, there are, and then, that's gonna drive me crazy till I think of it. The only exception is the one that I think.
How does it go?
From back in 2009.
You are the only exception. Okay.
I'm not doing any justice.
And you are. But they don't actually sing that. Isn't there someone else that sings that song and then they covered it?
Who?
The Only Exception? Or was that Paramore, like, from the get-go?
I don't know. I think it's Paramore from the get-go.
Ooh, because I thought that was, like, a cover.
I don't know, but we're going to look it up
Let's
now.
Let's check it out.
So, anyways, that's her really good song.
Google it.
Hannibal debuted to pretty good ratings on a really shitty night to throw a TV show. It's on Friday nights. Mm-hmm. Gory is
just
always...
started DVRing it, but I haven't watched it yet.
First episode was Friday. Really, really, really well done and cheap, and hopefully that'll stay on for a while. And that's pretty much all I got.
I have one question.
Yep.
Have you seen the newest episode of Mom?
Yes.
About the potential adoption. Honest to God, he has told me to watch a number of things, and I am thrilled that you said to watch that show. It's one of the funniest, like, just burst out laughing out loud that Allison Janney is fantastic, and her delivery and the writing is pretty good for that show.
It's very well done. And
Anna Faris is... A good compliment?
Yeah, she holds it together. But the thing that you just can't stop getting over is Allison Janney is so likable. She's playing the most unlikable human in the world. But she has such a winning person. And not the Charlie Sheen version of winning, but she just has such a winning personality. And she's just so confident. And her timing is impeccable. That she just delivers that shit home. And you just find yourself, you're like... I'd like to know her. She'll probably steal everything I own and pee on my carpet.
Right. But she's
I'd
great.
I'd like to say I'd like to go have a beer with her, except she doesn't drink in the show. I mean, like, this character. So, and that's what makes it very funny. And I think for me, because of Mom having next month will be 20 years of sobriety.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things that they're, you know, when they go to these AA meetings and there are different pieces of that. That some of the delivery from Anna Faris, from her character, is very funny. And Mom hasn't sat down and watched the show yet. I think she'll get a big kick out of it. But Allison Janney's character, when she's riding around on the scooter, I'm going to pull your oxygen. But I mean, when the, you know, she's like, I want to do a line and drink a beer. And I mean, it's just,
and she's like,
because she was a drug addict and like this, just a sex fiend
and a mule to get like, like they talk about all the places they had to swim back from because they were out of the country illegally.
I started watching it last week and I think I saw one or two episodes. But what didn't we talk about too? Allison Janney in The Way, Way Back was like the comic relief of the whole thing. I mean, she's just hilarious.
Because you knew you were in. The minute Allison Janney walked out in that movie, you just knew you were in safe hands.
So
like, one joke in, and you're like, oh, we got this covered.
Yes, and
no
it's
matter what
be
happens,
fun.
We can just turn the camera to Allison, see what she's going to do.
She really
What's
is.
Next?
Was she, What was her big thing? Was she in the
Juno?
West Wing?
She was in the West Wing.
The West Wing. That's what
Juno.
I...
She's in Primary Colors.
Primary Colors.
She's one of those people that when you IMDb her...
Yeah. It's like shocking. Like,
she's been in everything for years. And then finally on the West Wing, they nominated for an Emmy.
The West Wing is where I knew her.
Every single vote because they're like, she's so liked.
Did she win
the Emmy? She won the Emmy. And then she was in 9 to 5 on Broadway with Megan Hilty. She played the... She played the Jane Fonda role.
Lily Tomlin.
She was Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
And her little song in the 11th hour was 11 o'clock hour. It was a shitty show, but she was funny in it. And Megan Hilty sang some nice songs and really looks and sounds like Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
So it sold what was a really awful, awful, awful piece of theater.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm sitting in a shitty show, but there's Megan Hilty.
And Allison Janney, so I can be...
Stephanie Bullock, who was supposed to be in Wicked, but she had to turn it down, and Idina Menzel stepped in. She played the one role, and then, I mean, it was a cavalcade of stars.
Right, like, so you're going to just enjoy it anyway.
Even though it was Jumanji, or what is our word? Jumentry. Jumungus.
Jumentious.
Jumentous.
Jumentous.
Jumentous. Or Jumentary, I appreciate.
Jumentary. It's Jumentary.
That's what I like. This is Jumentary. How very Jumentary of you.
Well, thank you.
Cheers.
So now next week we'll start looking at cancellations and see what shows are getting the boot because we're at that time. We're getting ready for...
I'm still really sad about Sean Save the World.
Yes. I agree.
And, you know, everything got put on hold because of the Olympics. So February sweeps were really about how did you hold up during the Olympics.
Okay.
And how fast can you get out of the building right. when you find out that you smell a little bit compared to the Olympics.
Like Jumentry.
Because the Olympics ratings were really good and NBC got high marks for... Mm-hmm. Turns out many people agreed with me with that. They're spreading it over the networks and how much...
Oh, people liked it.
Yeah. And if you wanted to watch something live, there was a chance. Like you didn't... Mm-hmm. If you wanted to wait for recaps at night... Perfectly appropriate to do so, but the networks of Universal turns out nobody watches any of their stations, but their real estate's there.
You could tune in if you wanted to.
It's really only you keeping you from watching NBC.
That's right.
Sean Saves the World. Unfortunately, I happen to catch Megan Mullally on Ferguson, the Craig Ferguson show, which I wish I would have found him a long time ago. He's so funny to me.
He's very funny. I just can't listening to him.
Anybody who can talk to a robot for the whole time. I just love it. Anyway, but Megan was on the show, and unfortunately, he asked her about that, and she was 2 weeks away from doing her guest appearance on it. And I don't know what character she was going to be, but I don't know if she would have been
I never even got to film it.
No, never filmed it.
That's too bad.
She was 2 weeks away.
Wait, and who is that?
Megan Mullally. Karen Walker was about to be on Sean Hayes' show.
Wouldn't that have been funny if she had been the boss's wife?
Oh, it really would have been. Yeah, that would have been perfect.
That would have been funny.
Tom, what was his name? What is his name?
The guy from
Reno 911.
It's too bad because in Reno 911, that is one of my all-time favorite shows.
Funny shit.
I have seen it until you introduced me to it.
All ad-libbed. They gave him a premise and they said go and they all ad-libbed that shit. Right.
No.
Yes.
Wait, yeah. Reno 911 is entirely ad-libbed?
Mostly,
yeah.
They had general outlines of stuff and then they said go and they just shot him doing
I had no idea it was all improv.
So much of that was improv.
So is now the Best in Show movies. Those Best in Show and...
The Mighty Wind.
Those are all improv.
Really?
Yeah, almost all of it. So if you watch the outtakes, you see all the things that they tried before they landed on
The one that worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is really fun. Interesting because those are like what I think are the funny. That makes for the fun. I think those are the funniest movies, and they're just so deadpan and dry and. Kelly doesn't get it. Like, when we watch those together, she's like, "This is stupid," and I'm rolling. Like, I think it's hilarious. I didn't realize it was all improv. I knew there was improv involved, but interesting. You learn something new.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
The more you know.
Right nothing here, right? ever happens Cute on talk Mars. Right here. What's the name of that song?
So now, Katie, you've wrapped up your entertainment. Are you good? More's going to come. We know more's coming because you're still breathing and you're going to talk. But... Katie,
fair to say.
Though I realize that you arrived late because you had prior commitments.
I did.
Is there a sports thing you have or no?
I just whooped something together.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, whoop it.
Whoop it. All right. This week in sports and some other stuff. We're starting with other stuff. The Outlaw Worldwide missionary church has some strong words for the gays. Jared Leto, some people don't like him. The Nets are signing Jason Collins again. Paula Kramer sinks a 75-foot eagle putt to win the Women's LPGA Championship. Richard Sherman, kind of a racist.
And other stuff.
So I knew there were a couple of sports things that had happened. One of them I was really excited about. But I will start with the other stuff. A sign in front of a church in Harlem, New York, led a polarizing and controversial. I'm going to start. A sign in front of a church in Harlem, New York, led by a polarizing and controversial anti-gay pastor, is making rounds on the internet, called the ATLA, which I don't see that that stands for anything else. It's the ATLAH, Worldwide Missionary Church. The religious organization is led by Dr. James David Manning, who has been an outspoken critic of Obama and the progression of the LGBT rights over the course of the past 6 years. Because the progression of our rights, I mean, is something that this guy, it's what his church was founded on, really, is opposing gay rights. Yeah. The sign that's on their church, the big signboard, says, "Obama has released the homo demons on the black man. Look out, black woman. A white homo may take your man."
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hashtag amen. Hashtag church Sunday. Hashtag Sunday best. I mean, I just don't even.
Hashtag I feel a challenge.
Hashtag, wow. Hashtag praise Jesus. I mean, hashtag
fucked up.
The sign was inspired by a video, which they've played here, in which he makes some very jarring statements about gay and black culture. He's obviously very, very extreme. He says it's devastating what Obama is doing to the black man and the black woman, and how the white homo is moving into the black neighborhoods and looking for black men to convert. So watch out, black asses, because the white homos are hashtag coming at ya.
Coming at ya.
That's some Jumentary shit.
Now you got to wonder, now does this fall into what?
That was very good.
Without painting any kind of a brush, but like Spike Lee talking about the gentrification and how he wants everybody out of his fucking neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, San Francisco, which in the middle of all those rants on Sunday, there was one about gentrification.
Yeah.
From our guest.
Yes.
Super special. We did talk about that.
A pointed comment was made about gentrification. So I'm wondering, is that because that is who's going to come in and gentrify your neighborhood, is the Clintons who did it first, and then the gays will be in Harlem a minute later making things.
You know, I mean, it's possible.
Because Don Lemon on CNN was talking about his apartment in Harlem and how it was like, it was his, he lived there, his grandmother died, he stayed in the apartment, and then he had a chance to buy it, but it was too much money.
Yeah.
So he moved, and he's like, now I can't afford to go back there because it's been gentrified.
Okay.
So now this neighborhood that was his grandmother's for years and years and years.
It's
So is there a little bit of that kind of, like, you're chasing us out of our neighborhood?
I mean, possibly.
Redecorators, or is it?
But I think this
guy's with straight up hate.
Just straight hate.
Yeah.
He continuously tells his church, and one of the platforms that he preaches on, which is super sane, is that he fully supports the anti-gay laws in Uganda and Nigeria, and he fully agrees with dragging out the gays by their hair and beating them and setting them on fire in the town square. And it's really, so I don't think that this
I hope gentrification happens to him. Yeah,
really?
Isn't that the first Friday of every month? I think so.
Downtown. So anyway, it's really, he wants to post a top homos list just like Uganda. Like, this man is fucking crazy. And he is a big old black man.
I'd like to see that list.
America's top homos at 11.
Dancing and decorating. I mean, I know that people say this, right? But there's something weird happening inside of your body when you are that hateful. Like, he's either like masturbated to gay porn before, like maybe once, or
he's
like
terrified every somebody's single gonna day. Fight him. Right.
One of his,
it's
like
on his computer.
A friend of his in elementary school, like, touched him in the shower. Like, there's something happening in your history that you literally want a list of top gays in your neighborhood so that you can drag them up by their hair and beat them. But maybe you're gonna jack off with them first.
And and to make sure that all the attention is not pointed on you.
Well, right.
Which, thou doth protest too much.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
don't they get it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's if your minister has more to say about homosexuality than I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
There is something going on in his pants. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot happening there.
But it sounds too a little bit like the gentrification issue, which I have to say, as far as gentrification, it's happened in my neighborhood, and I am really thankful.
Oh, me too.
Really? Your neighborhood,
and
yeah.
I had Mexicans do it. God bless.
And you have... Kelly and I were noticing as we were coming to your house the other night, it's cute. I mean, the houses in your neighborhood are so cute.
Mm-hmm. So, someone's coming along and putting the money.
Gentrifying them.
Yeah.
Sure. Which I suppose maybe in a neighborhood like San Francisco, like we heard, or Brooklyn maybe.
And I think
it's hard because it's so much more expensive. Like, we're not our neighborhoods aren't gentrifying us out of homes. They're gentrifying some people out of homes.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's the people I don't want in my neighborhood, so it's not that all bad.
You're a racist, Katie. You're a racist.
If you think about it, like the one that I noticed it the most in was Hillcrest in San Diego. Because Hillcrest used to be like small businesses, fabulous gayness, like on every corner. And then all of a sudden it was like
corporate America,
straight people with strollers and chain restaurants. Yeah. And everything was like, it lost all of its local color. And then it was gay people pushing their stroller that were like, straight people with their stroller, like, we live with the gays. Look at them over there. They make us cool. And the last time I was there, it had the ickiest feeling to me of
that's
like,
that's horrible.
Where did the gays go?
Yeah.
Like, when did the gays go?
And it's even like,
the good gays gone.
It's even the corner in Phoenix, there's a neighborhood called Willow. And there's a big, it's one of the big, 7th Avenue and McDowell, big corner here, right off the freeway, everyone knows. And it used to be my florist cafe and a couple of little shops and like a bakery and all these other things. And it was, I don't know if I call that gentrifying the neighborhood.
No, that's just
corporate. Straight corporate takeover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Because it's no longer any local little places. Now it's a Habitat Burger and a Potbelly restaurant
and a fucking
T-Mobile on the corner.
Yeah.
And you know who owns that corner is...
In Payway and Starbucks. It's like every part of the evil empire.
The only part of that corner that's actually homegrown is the sidebar.
That's
the only one that's there that's really...
And there's a Strut. There's a plus-size women's bridal shop. Which is out there, which is so cool looking.
Lost amongst there is the lone bridal shop
and community florist
that were open during the construction of all that.
Yeah,
and then it's a gas station, right? Isn't corner four a gas station?
One of the corners, but that has been there for a while. Yeah. But the
would you know this? You know they're shaking in their boots.
Who's our really super lovely attorney general? His name is escaping me. He's beautiful, good man. Nope, just kidding.
No,
he's actually horrible.
So.
Horn?
I feel like Tom Horn.
I think it's Tom Horn that owns that.
I get a point for that.
I'm really impressed with that.
I'm
think
shocked.
It's, yeah, good job. I think it's him that owns that corner.
I was like, and then I thought, no.
Which was
wrong.
So sad. As soon as I knew, I think it's Tom Horn.
Yeah.
But it's sick that he, you're just getting in the money.
Sure.
Okay, so Jared Leto, we all loved him.
Oh, except for there was one comment about that speech. What as the apparently actively
dying person?
People of
which
AIDS
was so weird. He goes,
not
who
like
all
that?
Here is actively dying of AIDS, and I was like, oh, not me,
yeah,
not me at all.
No, and I'm not laughing. I was just very confused that he did not like the speech,
right?
And then said that he was expected more was expected of Jared Leto because of a speech he had made. What was that about?
Well, I mean, they both got taken to task for their speeches at the Golden Globes, that they were a little light on thanking the community that they were portraying and stuff like that.
I hadn't heard that.
And then they fixed it at the Screen Actors Guild. They both kind of acknowledged that, you're playing real people that have died and, you're getting a lot of glory for someone suffering. Sure. So, and I thought his speech was
really
nice
lovely.
About his mom. It was nice about his career and being welcomed back after.
I thought it was a great speech.
After hiding,
and he said, "I stand with you."
Yeah, I stand
gay
here.
Community, LGBT community. I stand here as an advocate and an ally. Mm-hmm. And
I stand up for you. Like mm-hmm. What more do you need?
It was because he didn't specifically thank the transgender community that people are really feeling upset, and they're saying. Jared Leto gets a prestigious award and status for his role as in Trans Face, but many trans women of color are struggling to stay alive. These are all tweets. A trans actress out there who could have brought real dignity to that role. She's shaking her head right now. After taking a role that could have been played by a trans woman, mentioning them was kind of the least you could have done. #sigh
Yeah, and that was a big complaint in the casting was to not hire. Now that Laverne, is her name Laverne?
Cox.
Laverne Cox. Uh-huh. There's different actors and actresses working in their transformation process.
And I'm not trans, right? But I feel like I know.
That's news to
Surprise!
All of us, Katie.
You mentoring.
But I feel, and I think I'm in this, I'm sad, but I will say, I think I'm in the Pierce Morgan boat where I feel like I'm an ally and an advocate for the trans community, mm-hmm. but I'm probably doing it wrong.
Right. Yeah,
and
sure.
I don't know that I'm doing it wrong.
I would agree with you on that one too, but I don't know. I don't know how to fix it.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I would say I'm probably not doing it right. And but I feel like he brought such realness and authenticity and emotion to
he
that role.
He certainly wasn't making fun of it.
He was very raw, and I feel like he really embraced that role. And I mean, he is an actor, and yes, Laverne Cox is an actress, and that's and great. But you can't just pull just because someone is a trans woman. You can't just pull them off the street and say, "Here, go star in this major blockbuster role." Right. Like it just doesn't.
Well, but it couldn't, and maybe it was. Work like that. Maybe it was, and I don't mean to speak out of turn, but the same idea for Philadelphia. Couldn't someone have said that a gay man should have been playing that role rather than
a gay man
Tom
with
Hanks?
HIV? Maybe
correct.
Right, right. But and there's all these caveats, but it's called acting, and.
Right. And Tom Hanks did.
They made the movie on no money.
Yeah,
they had to have somebody who could afford to go
and work
on a
for
shoot
nothing.
And work for not for a lot of. There's no money involved in this until maybe afterwards or when they got distribution or something. But.
I just thought that he was so great for the role, And I think people are upset a little bit that he didn't mention, and also just upset at the casting process in general. That's what more of the kind of craziness is about. Is like. Let's hire a trans actress. But anyhow, I thought he was lovely. I know we all in this room agreed. He just was gorgeous.
And who knew that an Orange is the New Black? Like, I didn't know that Laverne Cox...
I didn't know she was trans at all.
At all. Yeah. So,
and the same thing
until
with,
she came out, you know?
The beautiful woman.
Janet Mock.
Thank you. I mean, for real.
I saw she's the one on Piers Morgan who was taking a big task in regards to that stuff.
Amazing.
It's the end of hour two. We have one more hour to go. Katie's in the middle of sports and other stuff. We will continue to talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about. If you're in the chat room with us still, thanks. Throw a question out. Maybe we'll answer it. Maybe we won't. Because that's how we roll.
Documentary.
Coming up, Thoughtful Vulgarity. More drinking, more analysis on life in general from now. Katie's joined us. Katie, Marnie, Al, and myself. It's the show on Q Talk America. We'll be back in mere moments. Well, in fact, just like 2 moments, and then we just start again. It's simple. We'll see you in a minute.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, hello once again. We are coming to you live from Studio C. On a, it's a
Monday.
Fat Tuesday.
Is
it's
a by, Monday?
No, I said earlier, Katie, I fucked up and I said it was Monday. I don't know why I thought that. It's Fat Tuesday. We haven't even mentioned that it's Fat Tuesday for the
Fat
those
Tuesday.
Celebrating the
Mardi Gras
stuff, which I'm going to go do, I guess, when I'm done with this. I don't give a shit, but I watched Kathy Lee and Hoda today, and Kathy Lee was
awesome.
I'm sure
they celebrated.
Fantastic.
I forget, Hoda's from New Orleans. She is from there.
I didn't know that.
So one of her first live on-air jobs, like her first day, they send her out on Bourbon Street, and she's drinking on air, and she thinks she's going to be fired the next day, and everybody comes in and they're like, oh, wonderful, live shot, that was fantastic. They're like re-racking the clip and showing her, and she gets lifted up by some Moss guy, and she goes, I thought I was going to be fired the next day.
But look at this. It's led to a lustrous career
of drinking on national TV.
Every morning.
Every morning. Not
That's
just...
Fantastic.
No, and she's sitting next to Jenna Bush is who she's sitting next to. And
she's probably drinking wine, too.
Well, I'm I think
or
Jenna,
do online.
I think Jenna kind of stays. The cake. But they, you know, the thing with they bake the cake and you have to find the baby in the cake.
Oh yeah, yes.
The little doll.
Yes. What just happened?
Just the descriptions
the baby.
Of this show.
No.
Just make it sound like an SNL sketch.
It does.
No,
what?
But it's something. I don't know the tradition. They bake
it's called the king's cake or something.
Oh yes, and they put a little baby doll, a little tiny plastic baby,
oh,
in the cake.
Oh, that is for Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a New Orleans.
It's
thing.
A
and
New
it
Orleans
just so
thing.
Happened that so in this morning, so Hody and Jenna were there, and they're like, "We've got to find the baby." So they both take the opposite corners of this cake. Wow. Well, Jenna happens to find it, and it's got like icing on it. So Jenna just puts the baby in her mouth, and Hody's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Well, I just was eating the icing off the head of the baby," and Hody's just looking at her. So then what does she do? She sticks it back in the cake, and Hody's like, "What
really
are you
doing
now?" She goes, "Well, the baby wants to be back in the cake," and she goes, "You just told me you were feeling ill this morning. Nobody's going to eat this." She goes, "Well, nobody can eat this part of the cake."
Oh, no. That's funny.
Well, you know, famously caught drinking underage, Jenna and Lawrence.
Yes.
They were the twins at one point.
Yes. That's
so what happened to the other sister, I wonder?
She's married, and I want to say...
writing books.
One of them's a writer, and one of them's like a correspondent. Oh, on the Today, she's on
Jenna
Today
Show.
Was Jenna.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but there's Lauren, but her married name is Lauren too. So she's like Lauren Bush Lauren.
Oh, that's so funny. My roommate in college, her name was Kelly Ross. She married a guy named Ryan Kelly, and her name is legitimately spelled the same, Kelly Kelly.
Kelly.
Kelly Kelly.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I changed it to K squared.
She went by Kelly Ross Kelly. She hyphenated her last name. She's divorced now, so it doesn't matter. But
Kelly Ross.
Was,
yes. She lost to Kelly.
But it was, she did.
We're down
she lost the whole Kelly. Yep. But it was really fun when she got married and we were all excited that her name was Kelly Kelly.
Kelly Kelly. KK. KK. You're KJ and she was KK.
That's true. That's
continue
true.
On with sports,
so
my dear.
I just have to go back really quickly back to my boyfriend Jared Leto, who just was gorgeous at the
Pretty
Oscars.
Get away from that.
We are not lying. Yeah. But every time I look at him, I can't help but think back to one of my favorite movies and yours, I'm sure, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah.
And all I can think about is his like super crazy heroin crack ass, like losing an arm and just being on drugs and just being crazy.
Sure.
But it is such a good movie. I can't stand it.
And this again is what I couldn't remember. Like when I walked out of that movie theater and I'm like, Jared Leto. The name is so familiar.
Sure.
So I thought it was from the Shia LaBeouf. What's the little hottie from the Mouseketeer?
I don't know. The Ryan Gosling. Gosling.
No, younger than
that.
He's
a Mouseketeer.
He's the one that's in the high school musical.
Oh,
Zac Efron.
Like, I thought he was from that school of, like, what the hell's going on? So I was baffled. I'm like, is this some 20-year-old that I've just lost track of? Is he the kid from About a Boy? Like,
when you saw him, where were you baffled?
In Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh.
I'm like, where in the teen spectrum of, like,
he's
just
way,
Yeah, like, just recently reached his 20s. Have I lost this kid? So Doug's cracking up. Doug's like, go home and IMDb him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it says he's 42.
Yeah.
Like, first off, I thought he was 19, 20 years old in the movie. And then I'm like,
he's
in The Fight Club. Mm-hmm. He's in Requiem for it. Like, he was in all these movies I loved. And I'm
Requiem
like,
was so good. And Kelly was obsessed with My So-Called Life. So she was so excited for him.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. He was the teenager 75,000 years ago.
Needless to say, he's gorgeous and I love him and I love everything he does. Nice. So moving right along to some actual sports. The Nets, this is very exciting for Jason Collins. They signed him to another 10-day contract just yesterday.
But wait a minute.
It's for an injured player.
Okay, because I'm like, shit, I'm
and,
off the pot.
And because of that, he did the jersey with 98 on it for Matthew Shepard.
Yeah.
And all of the, am I going in
98? No, was it 98?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it for the year that he was found?
The year that he was killed.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was a different number for some. Okay,
no,
yes,
no,
you're
but,
right.
But so the 98 jerseys, am I going in
Duchesne? No.
Are being sold, and I guess, like,
sold out.
Off the shelves.
Yeah.
Sold out. And all of the money, at first it was going to just be a percentage of or something like this. Now all of the money is going to the Matthew Shepard Foundation, from what I understand.
Cool.
And
wow.
Well played, Jason Collins.
Barbara Savelle said something about, you know, at first I thought that it was a little pricey. You know, the jerseys were a little much.
Because they're over $100.
Mm-hmm. but okay. But any NFL, NBA, anything like that jersey is going to
A big timer, which they were surprised because he's not a...
But an authentic jersey
is
going to be that, whether you're
right.
a big time player or not.
Sure.
And they just normally don't make them for the smaller time players. Anyway, all the money, I guess, now it's changed, is going to go to the Matthew Shepard Foundation.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Really fantastic. Cool. Yeah, he's awesome. So they sign him for another 10 days. It actually happens tomorrow is when they re-sign up for the contract. After that, the Nets would have to sign him on for the rest of the season if they wanted to keep him. So.
Wow, okay. So it's a third strike, and you're owning it
you
for
get,
a
you
season.
You get once, you get twice. If you sign him again, it's it's full-time. He played in the final 2 minutes, 41 seconds of the Nets' 96-80 victory over Chicago on Monday. You got a standing ovation from the sellout crowd of over 17,000, almost 18,000, that included former NBA commissioner David Stern when he entered the game for the first time. He missed his only shot, though. Also, so
crap's a loser.
But
I love that expression.
He said it was
crap's
cool. It was
a
lot of fun to go in the game. The most important thing was that we got the win. He had said before the game he wasn't aware of any deal. He was kind of leaving it all up to his agent. Mm-hmm. But the coach said that he had a great effort on and off the court, and they're really excited about him.
That's
so,
great.
And they're certainly excited for the publicity
Absolutely.
That he's bringing.
And it's good publicity.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean,
really positive.
Yeah.
And he's selling merch. I mean, he's like bringing publicity.
And
he's
not
raising
a lot
for
charity.
He's giving money to charity.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people are Nets fans.
He is definitely without playing it the right way. No, he's playing it the right way.
Natalie Cianciola, definitely not a Nets fan. I don't even know if she's like a basketball fan. Right. And she certainly
she's
is not
lesbian.
The Nets.
Of course she is.
Well,
not
she's questionable. She's more of like a teeny bopper.
Well, that's true.
WNBA.
Well, no, I'm thinking like actually like Taylor Swift. And like she's like a teen pop star, not really like a sports star. But she already bought the jersey. Like, she was on a waiting list for the jersey because she just, you know, really wanted to. So it's like totally really reaching out to a lot of different populations that wouldn't necessarily buy the merch and support the team. And it's very cool to see what positive things that the gay community can rally behind and really be supportive of him. So it's exciting. So I don't know.
I have to interrupt you just for a second. The money goes to the Matthew Shepard Foundation and the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network.
Oh, good.
So it's split between two
Glisten.
Charities.
Okay.
Glisten.
And
Glisten.
Gay, spell G-L-S-E-N. Glisten.
Oh, no, this... Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, it would say Glisten.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you don't follow any rules of pronunciation.
No, but that's what
and they don't.
Yeah.
Correct,
I'm like,
correct.
Okay, that's not where I would have gotten it. But there's a really nice picture of him with Matthew Shepard's mom and dad, and I want to say that... Is Matthew Shepard's mom's name Judy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Judy Shepard.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So there's a really cool picture of him with the
Judy.
And he tweeted the picture of meeting the parents and everything.
God, damn it.
God, he's so fucking tall.
Compared
to him.
Hashtag blessed he was, which I think is probably
my
favorite. Absolutely.
Hashtag Oscars 2014. Hashtag blessed.
Blessed. Yeah, that is probably the douchebag. The douchiest thing to say now to me, as far as I'm concerned.
Hashtag blessed.
Blessed. Yeah.
It is so funny.
I just want to kick you in the
actually
teeth.
Used it in conversation this morning when I was talking about an annoying friend who always talks about like hashtag family, hashtag blessed. And I do hashtag family, but I've never done hashtag blessed. Maybe now I will just to spite.
You were talking to somebody in hashtags?
No. No, I'm sorry.
That's what I
that
wanted.
That was
a no. I was talking with someone this morning about how my friend always goes on and writes all these things.
I thought we were going to have a meeting with you or something.
And I was saying, she's so annoying. She always does this stuff. But then I was also laughing because in that same conversation, I specifically used hashtag blessed for something. And my friend Jill was laughing. She's
wasn't
like, oh,
wasn't that
my gosh.
What you did that for the Oscar thing?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
But
hashtag,
you did something.
Hashtag retweet.
Right,
hashtag
right.
Oscars 2014.
Yeah.
I did it twice. I didn't intend to do two different tweets. But.
Oh, I understand that.
No, but then somebody at the Oscars
that's
did
why,
it.
Right. That's why I thought that you had done
yes.
that.
I did. Yeah, yeah. I retweeted Ellen's pick.
Yeah. But whatever it was.
Ellen did that.
Oh, no. Right. That's why I started making fun of it because she gave it the right
tone. And she said hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed because she made it sound as douchey
as it is.
As it sounds.
As it actually is.
We're
yeah.
blessed.
Yeah, we're blessed.
She's so blessed. She was so
because
awesome.
It's always a picture of some fat girl with an ice cream cone. Hashtag blessed. No, you're
hashtag
just fat.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Sad. Hashtag sad pants. Yeah.
With a cock in her mouth. Hashtag blessed.
Oh, lovely.
I got some.
I called 911.
Okay, so You guys have to hear this, right? I don't know if you saw Paula Kramer means anything to you. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's an LPGA champion. She sank. This is stupid. And you just have to really see it to really appreciate it. A 75-foot eagle putt off the second on the second playoff hole against someone who else doesn't matter to win the HSBC Women's Champion. I also can't pronounce it. Women's Championships on Sunday for her first LPGA title since the 2010 Women's Open. So here's what the deal is. So she's on the green, and I could read this whole thing, but you... She goes in for a putt, which she for sure thought was going to be two shots because she's way the fuck over here and the hole is way the fuck over there. Right. And the way that she, this is really, it really makes you think about how in tune golfers are with their greens and with their angles. And I mean, this is not just going up. This is not the way I golf, which is just like, please God, I hope I hit the ball. This is like really.
The way I do. By the beer cart in the, like the little.
Sitting on the beer cart.
Yeah,
right.
Driving the little car.
Yep. This is really calculated. It was awesome to watch. So she shoots the she hits a putt, and this putt goes all the way. I mean, you're thinking until the very last second that it is not going in, and it's going the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is like going away from the hole, but she knew exactly where the green cut, and it goes and it cuts at exactly the right spot and dumps into the into the hole.
Done.
It was amazing, and she's like jumping for joy,
and then just fell down
and fell down onto the ground because she had just won.
Now that's a shit when I watch 9 hours of golf when I'm home in New York,
and
being tortured against my will. That's the kind of shit I wait for, and that's the kind of stuff that just as it's about to happen, my sister would be like, "Oh, we're gonna eat. Turn off the TV." No, I've been watching this boring crock of shit dump.
Just to see something good.
What's
for
our
hours?
Word? Jumanji?
Jumangelate.
Jumangelate. With my left hand. Thank you.
What? I don't know what happened. I was responding to something.
But it always cracks
up. Al's jumangelating.
Yeah, I'm jumangelating.
Only with his left hand.
About my hatred of golf. But when I finally get into it,
but they want to
something
change
exciting is about to know. My sister's like, oh, no, we got to eat. Fuck you.
And they
it's
have the
gone for 9 hours.
And they have the remote.
I've been ready. I'm trying to make conversation with these people that are going to talk about golf. I'm studying.
Well,
don't turn it off just when something was about to happen.
So, and if you're interested, check this out. Paula Kramer. I could put it on our Facebook. It's very, very cool.
Well, it is cool.
It's cool to watch her sink that. It was the game, the match.
Tournament
winning putt. So very exciting. So Richard Sherman back in the news. We remember Richard Sherman from the Seahawks, right? That's right. Yep. Okay.
Cornerback.
Oh, wait, but he's
not
a good guy.
Cornerback.
Yes. Cornerback. Not everyone
trash
thinks that he chooses his word carefully.
Yeah, trash talker.
He is undeniably someone who thinks seriously about language. He majored in communications, which I think most football players do. Like comms. I'm going to just major in communication at Stanford. Oh, shit. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Which he was still majoring in comms. Listen, I had majored in comms also. But when you're a football player majoring in comms from Stanford, come fucking
actually,
on.
Can you spell that, please?
He was second in his class.
Shut up.
And he was .4 away from graduating first. And he was pissed about that. Everything was pushed for him and
mate
school.
And checkmate.
And he buses everyone in because he was from Compton, and he buses kids in from Compton to go up to Stanford so that they can check it out and see a life that they wouldn't have.
So I feel like a gigantic asshole.
No. By the way, guess who mocked the Coke commercial? So nothing. Everything is fine. I just want to throw it out because
that's
actually
really cool,
Marnie.
I had no idea.
Really amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really cool.
But he says that he's shocked at the proposed ban against the N-word that's being considered by the NFL. He says it's an atrocious idea.
Negotiation? Is that the word?
Yeah. It's atrocious that they would think of negotiating. He says
the thought of it.
He says it's almost racist to me. He says, it's weird that they're targeting this one specific word. Why wouldn't all words be banned then?
Because not all words are that word.
Or all curse words. Excuse me. Why wouldn't all curse words be banned? A rule prohibiting players from using the N-word during games has been promoted by the Fritz Pollard Alliance, a group that monitors racial diversity and equality of job opportunity in NFL.
There is nothing that screams black like Fritz Pollard.
The FPA, Fritz Pollard Alliance.
What?
Exactly. I mean, Come on.
FUPA.
They're saying, okay, so the FPA, the Fritz Pollard Alliance, is saying, John Wooten, who's the head of that.
Of course he is.
Wooten says I think they're going to do what needs to be done. There's just too much disrespect in the game. But Sherman, who's decried the word thug as the accepted way of calling somebody the N-word nowadays, said that this proposed ban is misguided. He said, I've got a big problem with this. So you're going to have a league with no black owners and a white commissioner, middle-aged, advanced white men, saying black players can't say the N-word on the field or we're going to penalize you. I've got a massive problem with that. I don't think it's going to happen. I know there are black men of the same age apparently John Wooten is black.
This just in, we have breaking news.
Attention, John Wooten's family.
We have breaking news. Stand by.
John Wooten.
This is breaking news on Q Talk America. We go live to Katie June.
John Wooten of the Fritz Pollard Alliance is African American.
That is breaking news. We'll be back with more sports right after this from Katie June.
After we all Who recover from this black? Shot.
Katie, back to you.
I'm going to bet you my ass and Fritz now, is not.
Probably
a
not.
A midget in a bikini.
But he says, he's got to understand this.
I'm sorry.
We go live to Asian reporter Trisha Takanawa.
The airlines of fuck you now.
Yeah.
Or fuck you later.
Oh, fuck you later.
Oh.
This has been banned. So anyway, N-word in the NFL. It's happening, people.
Yeah, what do you think, though? I mean, because
I think it's unregulatable.
Unrealistic.
Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah.
Spell John Wooten's name.
John, W-O-O-T-E-N.
B-L-A-C-K.
Wooten.
I think.
Oh, is there a T?
W-O-O-T-E-N.
The guy that I looked up was dead.
And white.
In breaking news.
what do you need
no,
to do?
But I mean, like, say, I agree. Like, how if flags are going to be like, what? The game is going to last 24 hours because flags are going to be flying all over the place. What? And do you give that a 5-yard penalty?
Or is it
a fine?
Right. Is it the tone that they're using? You
is
know
it
I mean?
A black person to a black person? Or
because where?
Is it a white guy?
Is it A versus ER?
I can't differentiate on that one. Because somebody tried to do it on this show, and I wanted to run screaming from the room.
Yeah. I am so glad I was gone on that night.
Yeah, but had you not been.
I can't handle. Kelly's stepfather.
Yeah, you were talking about
it. Yeah, used it once.
That.
And I wasn't there. Yeah. And it was in reference to the president-elect at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd been elected at the time. And I missed the family dinner. And thank fucking God. Yeah. Because even Kelly was like, I feel like you would have gone through the roof.
Sure.
Like, I wouldn't have been able to keep my
composure.
Cool.
Yeah.
What, using that word, like, legitimately.
It would be like walking into Charlie's and telling people that they couldn't use the F word. Right? Like looking at each other and...
Or as homo or queen
exactly.
or queer. You,
hey,
you
girl.
Queen. Right.
You know, whatever it is. But,
but you know that's
who's
all part of trash.
That?
You know it's all part of trash talk.
Of course it is. But look at who's white boy down in Miami.
Oh, Richie Incognito?
Incognito. So he was a black guy, according to him, him and teammates. They said he was an honorary black guy.
That just beat up his car. Did you see that?
No.
He beat up his car?
Yeah, wasn't
he
it
did?
In Scottsdale?
Richie
Incognito.
About this.
Oh, let's Google. Let's Google. I thought that was going to be part of your news. Richie Incognito takes on a car.
Come on.
Richie didn't fuck it.
I'll Google for you, darling. You keep up.
Okay.
She's still typing. She can't stop typing.
I can't.
Oh, the humanity.
The humanity.
Oh, yeah. Turns out Richie Incognito's Ferrari got smashed up by... Richie Incognito.
In the days before he reported... Oh, what?
Wow.
Skip. Hold on. I do not want to download the Miami Herald.
No.
I am offended by the question. In the days before he reportedly checked himself into an Arizona psychiatric facility...
What?
Oh, my God.
Richie Incognito was calling some friends at odd hours, apparently after drinking and leaving messages about being followed by NFL and government investigators.
What?
He complained that his agent, California-based blah, 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 was actually a double agent helping the NFL end his career and adding he was going to track Dunn down and fire him face-to-face.
Oh, my gosh!
Dunn. This from one associate who talked to Incognito before the former Dolphins offensive lineman apparently took a baseball bat to his own $295,000 Ferrari FF. Fucking faggot, right? No?
Maybe.
Not according to him.
Yeah, okay.
No, he was never
in. And all he does is work out during the day and get drunk every night. The way things have been going lately, I keep expecting to hear the worst, said someone who's quoted here, and I don't know why. Oh, this is from an associate who talked to Incognito. I'm like, this is just in quotes about nobody.
If it's in Scottsdale, I'm going to assume it's at Mom's Scottsdale Behavioral Health.
Oh, so I didn't give you the whole quote.
Banner Behavioral Health.
What is the whole quote?
The whole quote is, it's from his... from his one associate who talked to him before he took the baseball bat. Here's his quote. He's in Arizona now, and all he does is work out during the day and get drunk every night. The way things have been going lately, I keep expecting to hear the worst. Continue quote. You media guys talk about where he's going to be playing next season. I wonder if he's going to be alive next season.
Oh.
Wow.
This is from... Now this is
well
from,
done, Jumanity.
This is one of from one of the very famous Miami Herald unnamed sources.
That's right.
Also a known associate.
Right.
Incognito.
I'm looking at a picture of it.
He remains incognito.
I'm looking at a picture of the car that he busted up, and it's like talking about his life is really in shambles. Yeah. And someone's comment is, ugliest Ferrari ever.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Focus on the real problem.
I know.
The car was ugly.
Your car is stupid.
He's doing it a favor.
Well, it was for the insurance money.
But, I mean, you paid $295,000 for an ugly car. Joke's on you.
Right, dumbass. There you have it.
At least get in a pretty color.
Something.
Although
green with a CD player.
Exactly. Now, I did see a picture of the... And I thought that you were going to have this in there. Because one of you two sent it to me.
What?
Sent
no, me the link. Not me.
But
not
me.
Not it.
They showed the post baseball bat car, and my first thought was, God, I hope he didn't pay a lot for that because that car's not very. It's kind of ugly.
It
looks like a bug.
Clearly.
Oh yeah, bashed his own Ferrari with a bat. No, I haven't seen the picture.
No.
Oh yeah, either. No. Here it is. Not cute.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not a great car.
Now that it has baseball bat holes on top of it.
It's a collector's item now. Well, one of a kind.
Exactly.
There's one of the. In obviously,
it got beat up by crazy.
Other, Jared Allen has a thing down here who plays for the Minnesota Vikings. He has a bar in Scottsdale, but he also has kind of a big workout off season. This is where he goes, and
because of the lack of polar vortex, I'm imagining.
There you have it. And I don't remember. There are a lot of big names.
Excuse me.
Vortex.
Did you think you were alone, Kim?
No.
Did you close your eyes and imagine we all weren't here for a minute?
Oh, the humanity.
I feel dirty.
You like a sandy?
I feel peed upon.
Would you like
heart.
A sandy hand? So I have a whole bunch of sandy.
I do. I want a sandy hand. My whole body after that. It came in through my ear. Where will it go out?
I don't want to know.
Sandy hands are for the masses.
Hey-o. I'm going to actually do a little sandy hands.
Maybe
right
me
now.
Too. Just so that we can clean up before thoughtful vulgarity.
I don't even know what that sounds like.
I don't know either.
It's kind of scary, man.
But it's one of those things that when it arrives in your ear, you're like, oh.
I feel like the more sad part is that I didn't even pay attention. I didn't even hear the creepy noise. I was just like, yeah, that's normal. Yeah.
Does anyone have a Q-tip?
I know. There it is.
Why is that Clayton voice a normal thing for me?
I feel like the old man that paid me for sex just came.
Oh.
And I can finally make my house payment.
The perfume,
there you go.
Well done. Looks like it's back to the
party. I don't even know what that is.
Dirty
I have
hooker,
no
dirty
idea.
Hooker. Dirty.
Wait. You know what Kim Novak thinks.
I'm a soprano.
Kim Novak thinks that's plastic surgery.
Or at least filler.
Something.
All right, what more? Kim us.
And that's it in sports and stuff.
Al, I have a little bit of news for you. And first of all, tell me if you, this voice means something to you, I know. This one.
Ladies and gentlemen. Betty Levitt.
So that guy
from Cleveland. He is from
Carl Castle. He is 79 years old. He has been an NPR news host for 5 decades. And after 3-decade career as the signature voice of the network's newscast, he then became a voice of not only the show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR, he also has always voiced the Kennedy Center Honors for them. Carl Castle is retiring.
Oh,
so
jobs available.
I'm curious to know.
Wait, can you play his voice again?
I can because
I know Carl Castle from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
That's exactly who he's from. So, Carl Castle.
Ladies and gentlemen, Betty Levitt.
Oh, I love his voice.
Carl Castle, which I've always loved his voice too, but. But I remember one of the first times that I sat down with Al to watch the Kennedy Center Honors. I'm like, I know that voice. I know the one who just did all the announcing of it. So it's interesting. 79, he's had over a 5-decade career in broadcasting. He's going to hang his hat up and I guess just not do any of that.
Die.
So I'll be very curious to see this coming December.
Yeah, who does
who will be doing the new voiceovers for Kennedy Center Honors.
And my mind
I'm hoping it's Shadow Stevens.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kennedy Center Honors!
Oh my God, Clayton, it should be you.
Well, I'm sure the Kennedys will call me right immediately.
Yeah, they literally should, Clayton. You should send in. Best voice. You should send them something.
Ladies and gentlemen, Betty Levitt. It's not the same.
It is. It is perfect. You are better than Carl Castle.
All I could... Oh, that's very
dun, good. Dun, dun, dun.
Kind words indeed, ma'am.
Oh, did you manage?
Clayton,
slightly younger
than I'm going to record you on this show. I'll pick out the best clips, although I don't know how to edit. So, yeah. Well, not just that, but Al talks all the time. I don't know how to do that.
I would use any clips from the show, the late December called Man Friend and Other Stuff, where Carol Channing made a stunning appearance.
That's the whole show.
Yes.
Shocking.
Yes.
I want you to audition. I'm going to figure out how to do
it. Have you followed the very sensory... Well, two things. The first is, I thought that was the guy in the opening of Divine Madness. No. I can't remember if it's the opening of Divine Madness or the opening for Live at Last, where the guy who's in charge of the ushers talks about Betty Midler is about to come on and play, and he hopes that they'll be very respectful because somebody that was played the week before had used some rough language, and now they had a lady amongst them, and he was
Betty Midler.
Who is this?
It's the head of the ushers, and as the show opens, they show him, and somebody films him telling the ushers to be very respectful because they have a lady, and he's very upset about last week's performer's blue language and everything. And then Bette Midler's just this filthy, filthy woman who gets out there and sings about her tits. And it just cracks me up. And here's this old, old man, but he calls her Betty Midler. But her name really is Betty because she's named, her mom loved Betty Davis. And she was named, and it's spelled like Betty Davis.
Everybody just called her Bette.
But her mom, because they weren't on TV, there was no TVs, she thought her name was pronounced Bette Davis, by the way it was spelled. So she didn't find out till later with hearing her name on the radio or on TV that she had been pronouncing it wrong the entire time.
She was
supposed to be named after Betty Davis. She just never heard it said out loud. So they're spelled the same.
Interesting.
Well, I'm glad it's Bette.
See? And then have you heard the sad story about Casey Kasem? The woman who played from Cheers, who played Carla's ex-husband's wife.
Right.
Eddie's?
Gene Kasem was...
The blonde bimbo character of...
Okay.
Had the real high voice. Yeah.
That was Casey Kasem's second wife.
Okay.
They have one child together, and then he has his children from his first marriage.
Yep. A son and daughter.
And now he has Parkinson's or Alzheimer's.
I can look it up.
He's suffering from something, and he's... I don't think he has Lou Gehrig's.
No? Okay.
But
no.
You could
I thought
be
it
right.
was something it's like very... affecting his speech big time and all of that. So
and I can't remember which, but she is.
He's got this total Anna Nicole Smith wife.
Yeah.
Well, kind of. But the interesting thing with her, she does a million voices. She's actually a voice actor.
Oh,
and she used to work with Rick Dees years ago on the Rick Dees Weekly Top 40 and did all of the crazy character voices on that show.
Okay.
But
she is like twice his size.
Oh yeah, she's or a more. Statue. She's he's like a tiny huge. Little Jew.
Yeah, tiny little man. Tiny no, but he's not. Jew. I can't remember. Is he Palestinian? Oh, I can't remember what nationality he is. But
those cheek implants are not.
Kim Novak.
No one's friends.
No.
So he's dying of this disease and at home, and there's a great battle going on between the children from his first marriage and his current wife and son, and the keeping everybody separate, and it's turned into a horrible tabloid story.
Yeah, and she's in charge.
Yeah, and it's because she's the wife, and it's a horrible story of everyone trying to get to see him, but nobody, they're doing the Pharaoh Allen thing where they're just dragging it all through the public.
Yeah, contempting charges of cruelty and neglect, and with an $80 million fortune at stake, the American Top 40's legends' children tell why they have waged a war against their stepmother for the right to visit their 81-year-old father who's frail with Parkinson's.
It is Parkinson's.
It's very sad.
Yeah. Now, well, it reminded me of plights, the plight of gay folks to a degree, of not being able to, you know, people being able to say, no, you can't.
Yeah,
who's in charge?
And now that there's real, you know, real gay marriage, now the gay husband or gay wife can tell the parents,
now,
fuck off.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, because obviously realize that we are of a certain age, Casey Kasem for many, many years did the American Top 40. He then handed it on a silver platter to Ryan Seacrest, who took over that show for him. Also, Casey
Kasem. But didn't Rick Dees do it for a long time?
No, Rick Dees has
his own.
Still does. Okay. The Rick Dees Weekly Top 40 is still out there, but the American Top 40 was Casey's. He gave that to, like I said, Ryan Seacrest.
He's in the weekly top 40.
Now here's Dave. Yeah. But then Casey also used to be on the MDA telethons. Mm-hmm. It was, of course, Jerry. It was Ed McMahon. And then Casey Kasem was the other one who did all the tosses and would talk about, you know, the 7-Eleven this year, blah, 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 raising money. He would also do that. So
Saturday afternoon,
the voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, which where a lot of his money comes from. But if you get what's the cable for your car that they always send me things that I don't get? It's Sirius?
Sirius XM.
Yeah, they have a 70s station, and you can they rebroadcast the entire America's Top 40.
Yep.
You can hear the long distance dedications.
Yeah, I loved those.
And they always announce, coming up this Saturday, we're doing this week in 1971, Casey Kasem, and they literally go back and play. Sadly, they don't play the commercials because some of the commercials were great too.
Oh, yeah.
But when you hear that, and he talks about, just like if it was today's show, you know, here's a long distance dedication from Casey, and she's in or whatever. Yeah. It's just kind of funny to hear that. But they also do that on.
Oh, they were always tear jerking.
And the way he read them.
My dog died.
Full of empathy.
He was so good.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of this stuff with his story. It's actually really sad because he had three kids from his first marriage. And Gene Kasem is apparently really shutting them out. And he has a second child by his second marriage with Gene. But that's really sad. They're just saying, let us see our dad. Like, we just want to see our dad. We're not trying to steal your millions.
Yeah, they were
just
on Pierce Morgan.
I did see that.
And
it's a sad story of a family dynamic and the son with her.
The son looks just like, from the first marriage.
Looks just like Casey. But then there's the younger son is saying that they upset his dad.
Oh, so there's another two kids from the second marriage. I'm looking at a picture of Liberty, who's the daughter from his marriage with
Gene.
Oh,
I thought there was a son too, but whoever it is. So maybe it's the daughter that talks about that they upset him so much, they get him all worked up, and how Liberty's playing the Pharaoh role. I mean, these things coming out are just like,
God, his son does look so much like him.
It's very sad because his new wife, I mean, I don't know. Apparently, it looks like they have actually been together for quite a long time.
And they have. It's not a new wife. Like,
no, it's not
30
new.
30 years, if
yeah,
it's a minute.
They were already together in the late 80s.
Yeah, they were because they have a little like 5-6-year-old in 1986.
Yeah. Does anybody here remember what his closing line for Katie probably won't, but
keep reaching for the stars. Is that him?
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
I listen to that every fucking
like
Saturday.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
It's similar.
Keep your feet on the ground and get away from me, cunt.
Exactly what I thought.
So similar.
I draw such comparisons.
And my favorite things from being a young kid in the summer was I would wear my little headphones like this that had the antenna.
Yes.
So I could listen to WKBW. I would listen to all 4 hours of the Top 40 countdown because I was very curious where Donna Summer was going to land that day. Yeah. She was always on that show. and like all the trivia. It was filled with like who held the longest note, who had the most top 10 hits.
After this break.
Oh my God. Like, it was what? So much to live for.
But that was also something where you had the cassette player. Remember the, like the, you have one. Of course you do.
Of course I do. What, the dual cassette?
No, the long recorder.
The boombox.
Put the one in. Mm-mm. Oh. Flat.
Yeah.
The flat recorder. And it has the square speaker. It's like a rectangle.
Oh, you're talking about just a regular single cassette?
Tape recorder. And then you put the thing in.
I actually don't have one of those anymore.
You did. I have, when we were listening to Woody's tapes. You had one like so
okay.
a few years ago.
All right.
Anyway, I would put a tape in there and then I would wait for the song to come on.
Yeah.
That I wanted to hear.
And record it. Yeah, yeah. Setting a recorder in front of the radio.
Why did you keep talking?
Right.
You know,
and then yelling at everybody because it wasn't a direct link. Yeah. And my friend had.
Yes.
Because I had the cord to tape. You know what I mean? I had the fancy stereo that you could tape onto that without using that. But my friend that she would always make these handmade tapes that were like, it was like seventh generation by the time she would get them all onto one tape.
Right.
And then she would write the names, and I'm like, what's that song? What's that song? And she would never have the right name for a song.
Right.
And one was I'm in Heaven by Cher, and I'm like, what the fuck is I'm in? It was Take Me Home, but
I'm in heaven.
And it used to make me, and that's the one I remember, still will call her once in a while and just say, like, I want to hear I'm in Heaven by Cher. She's like, stop making fun of those mixtapes.
I still have
an idea in its infancy with
ID. I just think that the whole idea of the mixtape and the mixtape being gone makes me a little sad.
Well, no, that's the mixed CD. That's why when CD burners came around making somebody a mixed CD. And then I found out that I don't really make songs to be about the person that I'm sending
just
on their
the ones
way.
You like.
I just send songs that I like.
Yeah.
So people always drive away with a completely wrong message from me.
Come on, everybody, do the conga. He must really like me.
It's like Avenue Q. Avenue Q, where, you know, he's like, she's like, what? I thought he liked me.
Yeah, not by this mixtape. Why does this song say "Shiver Me Timbers"? Is one of us about to die?
Auto tits thing inventor.
Right. Oh,
well.
Does he need a bra?
Do you wear a tits thing or do you buy a brazier?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, good times. I still have some of the cassettes. I was like, my boombox was back in the day. Mm-hmm. When you hit record, you didn't have any ambient noise. It was direct. You recorded the radio direct. But I still have some, like when Stuck on You and Penny Lover first came out back in the 80s. I have those.
Who sings that?
Lionel Richie. Oh.
Remember when Lionel Richie didn't suck?
He's going on tour again, by the way.
When I was in elementary school.
I can't say that I would be opposed to going and seeing him.
At a casino or like a real stadium?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll look that up.
Okay. I think
when I was in elementary school, I was in like early elementary. And my parents, I think that was like one of the first tapes that I was like allowed to have. It was my only tape at the time. And I think it was safe because it was Lionel Richie. But loved Dancing on the Ceiling. That was like my third grade anthem.
That makes me want to throw myself off a building.
That was like my
third grade anthem.
It really was like so young. Cute. But I had like a little tiny radio because I wasn't. Obviously, I was in third grade, so I couldn't like rock the giant boombox. But I used to hold my tiny, tiny, tiny pink tape player on my shoulder like this, and I'd be dancing on the ceiling. I'd walk up and down the street, and the best part is that only kids in my neighborhood were boys, and they were probably just like, "What the fuck?" Because I was like, "Let's play!" I was such a dork.
I did that with Cindy Lauper as well. Like,
Because at the end, do not get a Lionel Richie fucking song stuck in my head.
Oh, we have to.
Stuck on you.
There we are.
I don't know Lionel Richie.
That's when Lionel Richie like turned the corner into like just shit.
Get into my car.
Yeah.
No, it was not.
Wait,
it was
not
Billy Ocean.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
It's not Billy Ocean. Another black guy.
Because I can never forget how you go from like Still and Selah and Oh No and
Wait, what's Selah? I know that one.
Easy Like Sunday Morning.
Down the line about
nope, just kidding. What's Brick House?
Brick House is the Commodores.
She's a Brick House.
Yeah, she's a brick.
Oh, was he in the Commodores?
House.
Yes, he was lead singer. Jesus. He was the lead singer of the. I know.
Oh my God! You so might have just. He smells toast.
No, it's he was.
You never knew Lionel Richie when he didn't suck. He didn't start sucking until he went.
Stand by, breaking news. We have breaking news from Q Talk America. We are going to go live to Al Perkins with this just in regards to Lionel Richie's career.
Lionel Richie, former Commodore.
Lead singer.
Lead singer of the Commodores.
Do we have any tissues? Yeah, because I'm afeared that he is going to become wispy.
I'm telling you, dancing on the ceiling, that's it.
But we
gotta
help
got
to because Lionel Richie was a true talent to be reckoned with until he sold his soul to someone in white radio.
I wonder how he got there.
Hello?
Is it me?
Is this still my career?
Oh, was that song after he sucked? Because I liked that one. Yeah.
That's when he really started sucking hard.
I thought that was a great song.
I enjoyed that entire CD.
It balances on the line.
I mean, he doesn't tape.
He doesn't fully go sucky until Dancing in the Ceiling.
I'm done with that one.
Oh my God, I love that song. I'm dancing on the ceiling.
You were seven. So then, for a seven-year-old, yes. But I just can't get from... Brick House and Still and
Easy Like Sunday Morning, lovely song.
I love that song. I had no idea he was involved.
Entire tape, fantastic. I absolutely.
I have to say though, you know what song I loved? I loved from that solo album, Running with the Night.
Oh yeah,
That's a good one.
If you catch me in the right mood, I will still dance around my house in my underwear and pretend I'm Sheila E.
But not on the ceiling,
because that's where we get Sheila E.
That's
from.
That's true.
Sheila E. is the female dancer in that video before she could get a job as a drummer.
As a drummer,
she's
the
dancer, and she was still Sheila Esposito.
Oh, Miss Esposito.
Fuck you! I am Sheila Esposito, and you're not. She may actually also be the drummer on that record, because I think she was a pretty big session musician at the time, and her dad is some big fucking deal too. That's why she doesn't go by him. I want to say he's a big session musician, and so she went by Sheila E. So it wouldn't seem like nepotism.
Right.
I could be making that up too.
I don't think so. I think you're right.
It's been so long since I've devoted serious thought to Sheila,
the glamorous life.
She just wanted to be trendy, which is always going to be.
Now she was good.
Auction. And there are...
Shut up. It is Casino.
Well, he's Casino level. That's appropriate.
June 8th. Done. Like, I have to be there, I think.
What night of the week is
it? He's got another daughter.
And Aaron is going to be like, oh, honey, you go have fun. She's like, I already sold my soul to the devil with Barry Manilow and Rich Springfield.
Barry Manilow only sucked one song.
Yeah. Oh, no. But that's where she's like, no, I can't again.
Barry Manilow only sold...
Really?
He only sold his soul to the devil once.
She just can't.
And we've all had to pay for it. Fucking Cabana. Yeah. Why? Why? Why, God, why?
Uh-oh. I like that
Don't fall in love. But
they worked from 8 till 4. Work on the rhyme longer. Take a couple more minutes and come up with a better rhyme.
Well, then what would you make that rhyme be?
I don't know, but I wouldn't tell you their hours of business.
It would be something far different.
It's a dramatic love story. I wanted to know more about what shift she worked.
8 to 4, I think.
How do I fit in her shift work in this?
You got to know when to show up for Lola.
He's like, to shoot her. Can you tell me what time she works so I'll know when to shoot her?
Which girl is it? Oh, it's Lola. She works from 8 to 4.
8 to 4. That's her.
Rico?
8 to 4, Lola.
Rico's the guy with the diamond.
Yeah. Lola. Rico. Where's Tony?
I didn't even have to see a picture. I know who they are just instinctively by your descriptions.
She's the one dressed like Big Bird.
They're so Julanta. What's our word? It's not Julanta.
Jumanity.
Jumanchus.
Something.
Jumanchus. It's not.
There's something about a Jew.
Oh, now we're back to Barry Manilow.
See? Look at that. Full circle.
He has a Christmas album. Can you settle down?
Well, every Jew has a Christmas album.
Of course they do.
Brilliant.
I honest to God remember, after crying in the mall hearing Barbra Streisand sing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas for the first time, sobbing in the mall because I was a very emotional 6-year-old who thought everyone was going to die because through the years we might not all be together.
Oh, poor tiny Al.
You're like, oh my God, she converted.
Somebody can die.
She converted.
So my mom showed me the album, and I was like, wait, hold on. Isn't she Jewish? And I remember my mom just kind of going,
that's not kosher.
Yeah, but she has a Christmas album, and her just putting it
so
down.
So does Neil Diamond. So does Manilow. Casey Kasem probably has one too.
Babs did it first, but just my
mother. Midler certainly
She was so excited to show me that she owned this album that I was like, sobbing walking through the mall as a little kid. She was so excited.
Nobody knew you were gay.
And just the look on my mom's face, like, oh, I thought this was going to be a bonding moment, but never mind.
That's fantastic.
You want to go drink, Alfie?
You're still an asshole. Well, we were going to have mother-son time until I remembered you're an asshole.
Oh my god!
I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm looking at these potential tickets, and I'm going to have to do more work on this. But if this is real, it's fantastic that he thinks that he might. First of all, there are lawn seats at Auction.
What? Oh, Auction Pavilion. Yeah. That's the old Desert Sky.
Oh,
I am on.
It's
board
like a
then.
Full-on.
I've seen
like,
a couple concerts
yeah,
there.
Like that. In June?
Compton Terrace, right?
Compton Terrace was down south, yeah,
this
closer
was like
to Tucson.
Cricket.
This was Cricket. It used to be. Yeah. It used to be Blockbuster Desert Sky, yeah. And then it was Cricket, and now it's Auction.
Yes, okay.
Golly.
Very busy. Very busy.
There was a lot.
Anyway, China
owns it. It looks like these.
Another fucking thing China owns.
Hence, it's called Auction. $225 for tickets,
wow.
Maybe?
What? No, not for grass seats.
No. I'm saying it goes up.
It comes
it
with
looks
grass.
Like it goes up to.
It's a very mellow concert.
I'm going to look for best available. And just see.
In the Copa.
That's not Lila Ritchie.
We did sing his song in the last 10 minutes, and now that's in my head.
Yeah, but that's not it.
I've seen him like five times
Rico,
in concert.
Rico, Lola, Tony, anyone here?
No. They work from 8 to 4.
No, I'm telling you. Not their hours.
She works from 8
to 4. We're closed.
6:30 to 1:15.
Again, review the third verse.
They work from 6:30 to
1:15. We're here from 7 p.m. about 10.
Even if you were to say...
And then they have side work. So, shoot me after I roll up the silverware.
Yeah, I gotta do some roll ups. Wow. And sweep.
If I want to sit in section 102, which is going to be right here from the stage, not even right on the stage, it would be $157 a ticket.
Well worth it.
God bless him.
Well worth the talking.
Hashtag
good
blessed.
Well, good.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag he is hashtag blessed.
What if they had used, like, you know, instead of 8 to 4, just like, you know, they work swing shift, mid shift.
Exactly.
They work overnights.
Just say she did side
work. In the swing shift and then rolling silverware.
Well, now the Commodores did come out with midnight, with night shift. The Commodores did that. Not Barry Manilow, not related at all.
Working on the night train.
No, you're almost there.
Night shift.
Night shift is
night shift.
After
working.
Night shift is the
car wash. That's what I'm.
Wow, that's not even close.
That's Rose Royce.
That's what was in my head.
76.
Night shift is the Commodores, but night shift is the Commodores after Lionel Richie singing about all their friends that had just recently died,
like Marvin Gaye and Jackie Wilson.
Can you sing me a little night shift?
You actually just had it.
You were starting with it.
Oh, I transitioned to car wash.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That was weird.
That was very Jumanitous of you.
I'm jumenting right now. Whoa.
From that era.
Hey, what you doing now?
Doing now.
You set the
come
world
on, you were just
on
getting
fire.
On the night shift. Anyways,
working at the car wash.
On the night shift. But if you remember the movie Car Wash, they were working the night shift there.
Actually, and the car wash is open 8 to 4, oddly.
Yeah, see? It's open 8 to 4.
Weird coinkydink.
Boss don't mind if you act all crazy or whatever the hell that line is. I don't remember.
Oh, that's good stuff.
But sometimes if you act the fool.
If you act a fool. Okay, well.
At the car wash. Do 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 do.
Yeah, whatever. What we have to do now, we have to stop all this jocularity.
The humanity of it all.
Start the humanity.
We have to stop all this jocularity and go into this because we've only got 10 minutes left in this goddamn dog and pony show.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
I mean, kind of, but kind of.
Kind of. Maybe.
Huh? What?
What?
Al's looking at a book.
Horseshit.
Damn it.
He reads from 8 to 4.
At the car wash. Yeah.
All right.
At the night shift. On the night shift.
Okay.
Yes?
You go.
So there was, as far as going from the jocular to the not jocular.
The non-jocular.
there was an article from a nurse that, a hospice nurse, actually, who had...
Not today, Bertha.
not today. That's an old Danish. Well, not the Danish itself, exactly. But, you know.
Don't let that Danish out the window, Bertha. Not today.
Not at the car wash. Jesus. not jocular, I say. Anyway, there was a... there were five things that were listed by this nurse that she talked about regrets. Like, basically the five regrets that people typically have. And not being... let's find some wood, knock on some wood here. Not being at a place where we are going to have to...
You're not actively dying.
We're
yet.
Not, well, unlike... being that we're not, hopefully, actively dying right now.
I always want to get those people off my couch when they tell me they're actively dying.
Yeah, really?
Maybe outside, less paperwork.
Because I've heard bad things happen. Do we have
How
to pull
the
you
front
in?
Lawn?
Yeah.
Can I so, get a blanket and a pillow?
In being able to look at it, rather than being on a deathbed and me having to look to you people, because of course I won't be the one dying, to be able to say, what do you regret? What kind of things? Because this talked about, like I said, there were five different things. One of them was working too much. One of them was not allowing yourself to be happier. And I'll keep looking for this little article because I didn't anticipate this. But the what kind of thing can you imagine right now, and how could you change it?
Okay. Katie, June.
That's hard because I read the article and I...
Oh, you did read that. Okay.
And I think it's really hard in that when... I don't know. For me, it's really hard when you're going through, actively going through your life to think about, what am I regretting right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not regretting anything necessarily right at this moment. I could imagine, you know, I've been torn in the in being a mom. That's been really hard for me because I've been torn between the idea of wanting to stay at home and be with her every and like spend these very... very, very, it's crazy to me how fleeting these years are of your child being young, but also being really torn between like who I am also. And I am, I don't see myself as a, I'm not like a full-time stay at home, like cookie baking. I like to bake cookies, but I'm not that mom. I'm a wine drinking mom, not a, but do you know what I mean? I just am like more active.
Like. Yeah.
Mommy likey. And I can imagine, I know that there are so many people that would say, I would give anything to be able to stay at home with my kids. And I sort of regret the fact that I can't fully embrace that because of just like who I am. Okay. I just like cannot be sitting at home just raising Palmer. And I don't mean just, that's a wonderful, wonderful gift that I get to be her mom and I get to be a parent. But I just need more than that. And so I sort of have some like current everyday living regret of, I wish, I wonder if at some point while I look back and say, gosh, I wish I would have legitimately, like I took off from working for my, I took off from my job and I was going to be done until she called me back 2 months later and asked me to come back. And I was like, yes, I'm ready. Yep, I can do it. And I wonder, should I have just stuck to my guns and said, I'm staying home. I'm just doing the parenting gig. Will I regret that later? I don't know. I think about that sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's, I think that's a legitimate thing that most working moms or moms
or dads, working parents.
Dads, yeah, absolutely. Working parents, yeah. I think that's sure. That's everyone's.
And having that, though, like, that having that freedom, balance. Like, I have the choice. I could say, I'm not going to work at all. I'm going to stay home with, and I'm so fortunate that I have that choice. But I wonder, am I making the wrong, like, Kelly doesn't have that luxury. She has to work. But if I could, I don't wonder if I'm making the right choice.
Sure.
So,
but if you
that.
Got a different job, would she have the luxury of not working?
Oh, I'd have to get a really different job.
Sure. Right, no, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, could the roles be reversed? Could you get yourself the kind of job that could let her have that choice?
I don't know.
And then will she ever, is that a regret that she might be working
right.
on? That
right.
she's had to work this hard.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. Yeah. The working parent, just the parenting thing in general is just a big, yeah. Brings something totally different to your life, and working parent is tough.
Sure.
Your question.
Fine, sir.
I can't even imagine my mom not having a job.
Yeah.
Like, in that situation, right. I think she would have either murdered my father or forced him to quit his job because she wasn't leaving hers.
I just sent it to you, too, the little thing.
Oh, okay.
I know that there's not a ton of time left, but just so
Mr.
that you
McKee?
See that. Clayton.
I don't think, and I think I'm fortunate in this, I don't feel that I live with regrets. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I harbor that. I'll hold grudges forever on a lot of things, but I don't really go back and regret not, you know, my mom and I've had a discussion, how different would my life have been had I made the decision to move here in January of 88 when she did, and not stayed 5 more years in Missouri and lived with her parents, and which I would never go back and take that away because I had such a wonderful time with them, because I had just started working at the radio station and all that stuff, and that 5 years was fun. It was the first time really I was without mom, and I was kind of on my own, though I was with her parents and I took care of them. But I don't regret not. I've wondered how different my life would be, but I don't regret not making that change.
Yeah.
The only thing that I think about in regards to things is, and I don't know if this is really a regret because I could, I guess, potentially change it at this point. I always wonder about when I die, will I have done enough to make a difference, to have made, to have made any impact of lasting impression,
sure.
aside from, oh, he was funny. Or he was this, but have I...
Will you be, yeah, you'll be remembered. I mean, I don't think you can not be remembered. Like, there are people out there that I think cannot...
Mm-hmm. That are not memorable.
Not memorable, but
I don't think any of them are sitting in this room.
No.
Surely. But I think you're saying not just
like you're
be
that.
Remembered, but like what
for
really positive things have you brought to the table? Like, you want to make sure that you're leaving those positive lasting impressions... For the work that you did.
Even if they're shitty lasting impressions, as long
but
as everybody remembers.
Lasting, you did.
Lasting is the word we're looking for.
Yes. Well, Clayton, I don't know how anyone could ever not think your impressions are lasting.
Absolutely.
Is beyond me. Yeah.
And impersonations. But the thing is that was the whole point of the question. Rather than people having to be on their deathbed to look back and say, I wish I would have, we right now could look at it and say, you know what? This I would like to make kind of a change. And is there something, you know, when we look, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me.
But what does that mean? That's so like...
Oh, yeah. So many people live what their parents have wanted them to
be. I can honestly tell you I did not
I
go
did
down that
not
path.
Do
I guess
that
I didn't. I definitely... My mom wanted me to be a teacher, married to a man, a couple kids.
Al.
Go.
Yeah.
I would go, and this is... I've always wanted to bring this up as like the Brokeback Mountain kind of question. I had... As far as regret, I had my only like long term relationship really back in the 80s, early 90s was just a train fucking wreck of every kind of, you know, true love proportions. But I kind of hooked up with, became lovers with his friend, and he and I tried to make it work. And we just never were on the same page at the same time when we were the more compatible of the situation. And it kind of like... It came up twice to like shit or get off the pot and make this into something, and both times we chose not to.
Mm.
And it kind of always stayed
could
with
me. Could have been like your.
Yeah, that, it could
love.
Have been. Like we were.
It's very Tiffany.
The love that never was.
Yeah.
Could have been
unrequited.
So
the sex that really was, but the love we never. We, could,
yeah.
we would never go the step further.
Yeah.
We did it a lot.
Yeah.
But the chance to like. Do something Which, about it.
It is the good. End of hour three. I hope we got good. To everybody on that question. We're good with that.
I feel good with all
Thank
of
you
them.
For joining us. We'll be back again next Tuesday with more topics and hot topics and things to talk about, because that's what we do. We're a talk show on Q Talk America. That's what we do. But we will leave you with this parting, warm, comforting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.